And therefore I kept the meeting open and would want to welcome the department led by General Mugwai to our meeting. We have received an apology from the acting national commissioner. I understand he is around parliament, but has another meeting to attend, and we have allowed that to happen. And therefore, we seek presentations from the management that is here with us. As my opening remarks, I think it is proper, even if we are not a sports and recreation portfolio committee, and in fact we are a police portfolio committee, but I think it is proper for us to congratulate Zambia for winning the African Cup of Nations.
Yeah, yeah.
I when it is a match that I support a team, I do not watch it up to the end, because somewhere I panic and therefore I move to another channel. But I think this one I really watched. And when time came for penalty shootout, I could actually count my heartbeat, because my heart was like concerned. And each time I saw a Zambian player taking the penalty, I would just say he's got to miss it. And they were so good and so perfect. And I think they've done it for all of us in the Southern Africa, and therefore for our region. I'm not sure if others supported this other team that was playing Cote d'Ivoire. I'm sorry for those, but I supported Zambia, and therefore I will abuse my position. I think it was well done, and 8-7, it actually shows that it was quite a close match. And Cote d'Ivoire is also good in its own right. It could have won the African Cup of Nations and would not have complained, but I think Zambia was really outstanding. And I agree with them when they say they are no longer underdogs. I think they are not. They are a team to watch. New after 1993. A crash, but really we are happy. Moving on to our business today, I just want to comment on a few issues following our visit to Limpopo. National management, we are still raising the same things that we've been raising in other provinces. It's still the same issues of Domestic Violence Act, theft not known, second, files not kept according to national instructions, your Child Justice Act not known, and files not kept according to your national instructions, and the Criminal Law Forensic Procedures Amendment Act. It's just not known. Not by the management at station levels, and not anybody. So we can't even begin to talk about its implementation, because it's just not known that there is an act existing called Forensic Law, in fact, Criminal Law Forensic Procedures Amendment Act. We still are raising the issues related to the keeping of Section 13 stores, archives and all, sales. It's still a problem. And we visited at least 5 provinces now, and we have prepared reports. Our own view is that those reports must be used to improve the situation in other police stations, but it would seem like no, it's not happening. There is still complete confusion on the keeping of domestic violence records. and the information that must be kept there. So stations are doing different things, and I really think that it's time that we deal with this. Other issues we'll be dealing with them during our budget here, but it is still a fact that detectives, many of them, have not undergone training. Some have undergone the 2 weeks training, and many have not undergone the other training, whether it's 4 weeks or whatever. There are those that have not undergone any detective training. And we want to believe that when we deal with our budget this time around, we are going to see some emphasis put on improving detective services. However, I just want to deal with one other issue that we think it is a problem, and probably the department seems not to have an answer to deal with: the serious abuse of sick leave. I was just reading some of the information that the department provided to us during the annual report hearing. And one police station, I don't know where it is, but it is roadside police station. It has a staff complement of 16 members. And total sick leave days taken were 331. At an average of 19.4. The second one is Sportsbet, probably it's in KZN, I'm not sure, with a staff complement of 93. Total sick leave days taken within a year was 1,786, with an average of 19 days. The third one is Pretoria North, with staff complement of 1,609, in fact, with a staff complement of 169. Total sick leave days taken is 3,354, with average of 19.9%. The fourth one is Mount Road, with a total of 431 staff complement. The number of sick days taken, they are 8,821, with an average of 20.47. The fifth one is East London Police Station, with a total of 402 staff complement. Total sick leave days taken is 8,538, with an average of 21.27. The sixth one is Silverton Police Station, I think it is in Pretoria, with staff complement of 148. Total sick leave days taken is 3,144. Average number of days therefore taken is 21.3, I think, per person. The seventh one is Alexandra Road, with 158 staff members. Total number of sick leave days taken is 3,708, with an average of 23.8%. The eighth one, in fact, the eighth one is Mid Rand Police Station, with a total of 196 staff members, and a total of 5,935 total sick leave days taken, at an average of 30.3. The ninth one is Hilton K in KZN, with a staff complement of 39, and the number of sick days taken 39 staff members is 1,337. At 34.73 average. And probably the last one is Maitland, I don't know where it is, with a total of 85 staff complements, with a total of 6,085 staff members, with a total of 579 sick leave days taken, at an average of 77.2%. Then it means there's nobody working in this politician. Period. And the question is, why is this happening? Why is it allowed? I'm talking about the information that we received from the department. It is from last year March up until this year April. I think last year, 1st of April up until this year. And the issue is, why are these things happening? Why do we have such abuse of sick leave? And police stations that we're visiting, they're keeping a record of leave, including sick leave. They're not used by the management to inform them on steps to take. As a matter of fact, there are people who are in the department who, according to the sick leave register, are supposed to have died because there isn't any part of their body that has not been ill. However, they are strong and kicking. They are not dead. But they've been so ill so frequently with different diagnoses to an extent that you think one day you're going to see a man being diagnosed with something like salpingitis, even if they don't have fallopian tubes. The manner in which they are abusing things. So I'm raising this matter with management because we can't continue to see this. But one serious thing that is adding salt to this whole thing is that many of these people that are abusing sick leave like this have been promoted by the management. And it's not the matter that we will want to discuss today. I think it's the matter that we'll be discussing when we meet with the department during our hearing. Because it is these people that are abusing sick leave this much that have been promoted by the national management. And therefore, it means we're actually paying, awarding such behavior. So I'm just raising it really to the management that we think there is a serious problem around the issue of sick leave being abused. And surely there must be doctors who are assisting our members. And I think police, as police, have a right to investigate. It is their responsibility. If they think that there is corruption, it is the right of police to investigate that corruption, even using this medical certificate. It is within the law. We think there are several challenges in this regard. And probably as the portfolio committee, if we had a way of saying it, would actually be saying to doctors, they are not assisting us. They really are not assisting us. They are not assisting our country. They are not assisting anybody by granting these medical certificates willy-nilly as it is happening. We're not undermining their work. We know there are people that are genuinely ill. However, there are people that, according to sick leave, when you see them and they point you to them, you can't believe that it's this person who yesterday had a serious diagnosis for in the chest, in the stomach, in the leg, in this and that. It's supposed, according to the many diagnoses that are there, supposed to have died because it's been so ill, suffered every other problem to an extent that it's not supposed to be at work, but they are strong, they're kicking. So I'm just raising this in this meeting for the national management to probably find a way of dealing with abuse of sick leave in this manner. It is quite interesting to read the document that the management sent to us last time, particularly on this one area. One other issue that I think it is quite worrying is the issue related to Katomano Police Set Squad in Taser 10. We definitely will be interested to know as to what is happening there and indeed as to whether it is true that some people have actually been used as death squads within the police, because this is a very serious allegation leveled against our law enforcers. We would be interested to know as to what is going to happen, and of course, the investigations that we think are unfolding as to what the outcomes will be. Our meeting today is focusing on the leases that the department has. We really are interested to know details about every lease that the department has. We are interested to know as to where are they, how much are you paying per square meter, for how long, what processes will follow, when this will granted, and so on and so forth. So we definitely would want to get every information. Who are the owners? In fact, the landlords. We want to know every information about the leases that the department is having, and how are you ensuring that you're paying for the leases that exist, for the buildings that are existing, and what role have you played as subs, and what is the way forward in this regard, and how have you ensured that there is no abuse, no corruption in this field of work. This is our purpose for the meeting, and we'll take it from there. Honorable members, you are most welcome to the meeting. We will allow the leader of the delegation to take us through the presentation. You can introduce your members if you feel like, but otherwise I think we now know the members of the portfolio committee. Honorable Chairperson, thank you very much. Honorable members of the Portfolio Committee, a very good morning, and maybe to say Happy Valentine. Chairperson, you did indicate that the acting National Commissioner sent out an apology, but I think it's still appropriate that I carry out the instruction by tendering an apology. We are here to present on the leases of the South African Police Service as the invitation, Chairperson. The presentation thereof was forwarded a week before last. I think it's appropriate that I also allude to the issues raised by the Chairperson in her opening remarks. Chairperson, we, as I speak now, from tomorrow we are having a national meeting where we invited all the deputy provincial commissioners that are responsible for physical resource management, human resource management. The reason, one of the reasons for us having that session, a three-day session that will be taking place in Pretoria, is because we will be taking them through all the reports which would have been compiled by Parliament, and also emphasizing on those areas which were picked up as areas of concern during the visit by Parliament. Let me talk to the issue of abuse of sick leave, Chairperson and Honorable Member. The issue of abuse of sick leave was identified as a risk. It talks to absenteeism. It was identified as a risk within the organization, and it was in the register as a risk number one. As a result of that, we put on measures to ensure that we are in control measures to ensure that members are able to manage sick leave, including the appointment of a health risk manager whose responsibility is to avail doctors, whereby we are able to send members for purposes of evaluation. Those members that are continuously absenting themselves, alleging that they are sick, they get assessed by neutral doctors. What is not happening, Chairperson, is that there seems to be lack of command and control within our supervisors or managers. And it's one of the issues that we'll be emphasizing on as we proceed with the work session tomorrow. I must say it's something that that makes us not to be proud of ourselves as an organization also, because it impacts negatively on service delivery, where you find a situation that instead of having at times 8 members per shift, you'll end up having less than those 8, and obviously those that will be on duty will be taking a lot of strain. The issue of detectives, from last year already, we identified it as one area where we have been lacking, where we have not been focusing so much. And this year, we have already decided also, emanating from the intervention from the portfolio committee, we have decided that there will be a bit of biasness when it comes to allocation of resources, in the sense that we will be focusing mostly on the detectives, because we have seen from our performance that that was one area where we have been lacking, the issues of training, additional members within that environment, and allocating additional fiscal resources. It is also an area that we'll be talking to tomorrow. On the issue of Ketomeno Chairperson, I can indicate to the portfolio committee that there is a task team. After reading of the article that was in the paper, there was a task team that was established to ensure that they conduct investigations that will inform us on a decision to be taken a way forward. We did receive a preliminary report, the content of which may not be shared at this stage. The investigation is continuing. What we did as management, we redeployed those members whose allegations are against. They are now redeployed. They are no longer operating as a unit where they have been operating. They are no longer doing what they were doing, pending the finalization of the investigation. Amongst other things, the written notice of intention to suspend one of the members within that unit. That's how serious we do this whole matter. But obviously, we are awaiting the outcome of the investigation, which will inform us on taking a decision moving forward. Chairperson, honorable members, coming back to the issue of leases, one of the questions asked by the chairperson is whether are we ensuring that there are the measures that are put in place to ensure that there is no abuse. What we did in 2010, chairperson, we did a sort of an audit to say, can we check as to how many buildings are being leased for the SAPS? Members who will be aware that the leasing of the buildings is the responsibility of the Department of Public Works. What is happening is that we will be depositing some amount of money into the account of Public Works so that they are the people that are paying for the leased buildings. We did an audit and that helped us in the sense that we are now aware of the number of buildings that we are renting, how much are we paying for the building, and whether we are indeed optimally utilizing the building. That was done, which was not previously the case, and maybe it's the file that one commend the team that is accompanying me, who are the people that are responsible within the environment. It is also appropriate, honorable chairperson, that I upfront indicate that we are continuously facing challenges with the leased buildings. Why am I saying it's challenges? It's challenges in the sense that, as you know, there is this interdependency between the SAPS and the Department of Public Works. We are faced with a situation where we are getting evicted in some of the leased buildings. Why are we getting evicted? One of the reasons will be that the Department of Public Works will not have paid for the rental, and they will be citing a number of reasons. We do approach them and engage. Because we wouldn't know as the SAPS that this month the Department of Public Works will not have paid for the lease. The only time we will know is when the landlord approaches to say, I am locking my facility, or approaches the SAPS to say, this building has not been paid for. Other than the non-payment, one other challenge is that you will find that some of the landlords are being non-compliant. And the Department of Public Works, in complying with the government legislation, they will be saying to them, we are giving you only 2 years, a 2 years contract. And then the landlord will be refusing to say, no, I can't give you this building if you are giving me 2 years contract. I want 5 years or 10 years. And then the Department of Public Works will maintain their position, and then the landlord will say, if that is the case, you are, I am existing the SAPS. It's one of the challenges that we are facing, and we are engaging with the Department of Public Works. I must say, in a number of areas where we have suffered such evictions, we tried to ensure that there are makeshift buildings, police stations, where we ensure that the people are still able to get service, but it is a very big challenge. Honorable Chairperson, I am going to be introducing the team that will be talking on the presentation, led by the Deputy National Commissioner, responsible for Physical Resource Management, Lieutenant General Mukome, who is also currently conducting or exercising the duties of the Divisional Commissioner within Supply Chain Management. She will be doing the presentation with her. Lieutenant General Mufume is accompanied also by Major General Manzi. Major General Manzi is responsible for immovable asset management. We are also accompanied by Major General Mbata, the Head Corporate Communication Chairperson. Then we have got Brigadier Haskins, who is responsible for property management. We also having Colonel Pinar Mare, who is responsible for Information Management Center within Supply Chain Management. And then we have got, of course, Lieutenant Colonel Stain, who is our link between the Portfolio Committee Secretariat and the SAPS. Chairperson, if it's fine with you, I will then hand over to Lieutenant General Mufume, who will then take us through the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Honorable Chairperson, honorable members, good morning. In terms of our presentation, I just want to remind the House that in September 2010, SAPS presented before the Portfolio Committee with regards to the lease extension. And at that stage, we did have some challenges with regards to not knowing exactly how many leases we have, and who, you know, a lot of information was not known. And the Divisional Commissioner of Supply Chain Management indicated that we will be embarking on a process to get all the necessary information, and so that we are able to know exactly what we are paying for and what are the issues that we have. And then today we will be giving the progress in terms of the work that has been done. Now, Honorable Chairperson, last night we received a request for additional information to be provided regarding the names of the owners or the landlords, the term of lease, as well as rental, the amount, how much we pay per square meter. So the information is available. We did manage to get the information, but it is not in our presentation, you know, because we only got it last night. Now, as we proceed, Chairperson, a brief outline of the presentation. We will look at what is the definition of a lease facility, as you are aware that we are dealing with a number of facilities within supply chain management, and so we thought we should define these facilities, procedures in determining how to satisfy the needs. From there we look at the leasing process, and then we'll go and discuss the total number of leases that we have in the police at this stage. Our expenditure will also be highlighted. Then the verification process that we went through since September 2010, our leasing strategy. We'll also look at the process of downscaling leases in the SAPF. And then finally, we'll be looking at our challenges, some of which have been highlighted by Lieutenant General Mweni. Now, if we look at the definition of lease facilities, we are saying that there are three types of facilities, lease facilities that we have. One being the official accommodation, which would include office accommodation, as well as like police stations and so on. The second one is the living quarters, which are marriage quarters or single quarters, the barracks, which we need in order to provide accommodation to the employees of the SAPS. And then we have got land that we're also leasing. It's land that we use for high side, grazing grounds, the security fences, access roads, shooting ranges, parking, and so on. And then we have got some instances where we find that we are leasing the land, but we put our own park homes on that piece of land. It's the same as with the high side, we would lease a piece of land, but the high side is built by the FAPS. Now, looking at the procedure that we follow after we receive a request for accommodation, say for instance a provincial commissioner or any manager in the police says to us they have got a need for accommodation. So the process that we follow is that first we would compare that request, the need, against the current available accommodation. So we look and say, in terms of what we have, is it possible for us to reallocate the employees and the members so that they can share the available office space? From there, we then go to the Department of Public Works. That is, if it's possible to reallocate, then of course we will do that. Then, or else we go to the Department of Public Works, where we request them to provide us with available state-owned facilities. So we indicate to Public Works that we have got a need for office space, say for a new unit that has been established, if we are not able to accommodate within what we have already. And then Public Works will look and say, okay, there is available a house or office space that you can utilize. An assessment is made to determine the immediate need versus our ability to accommodate the need through capital works program. That is where we look and say, okay, can we build a new office space, or if it's a police station, say an additional police station, can we build an additional police station or utilize what is current? And then a lease agreement will be concluded by Public Works until such time that the need can be addressed as or otherwise. So we're just highlighting there that lease agreements are relatively quicker to acquire, that is if I compare with building a police station or office accommodation. Now, that diagram shows the process that we follow, where on the left-hand side we have got the end user, which is the provincial commissioner or the divisional commissioner, whoever the end user is. That is the person who has got a need for accommodation. In the middle, we have got the SA Police Service, and then on the right-hand side is the Department of Public Works. So the first thing that will happen is that the end user will identify and submit their needs. That is now, let's say, the provincial commissioner will submit their needs to supply chain management. And then we will then investigate available options, as I've explained in the previous slide, and determine this as the... If we have determined that, okay, at this stage, lease is the only option to accommodate the needs. And then from the needs assessment will be compiled and validate the needs in terms of the specific space. That will be based on the number of personnel, the storage facilities that are required, the spaces that they need. For instance, if it's a police station, they will need a parade room, an IG room, all those things that will need cells, as well as the type of equipment that they will need to house in that space, because it will determine the type of space that they need. For instance, spaces for ablutions and for photocopy machines and so on. And then the certified needs assessment is submitted to Public Works, so that Public Works can provide us with a cost norm document. Once they have, Public Works has done that, then we will do a financial approval, because from the SAPS, we are the ones who must say that we do have the funds for the need before Public Works can go ahead and do anything. And then they will go ahead and procure the need. Public Works will advertise or whatever the process is. So the process of inviting people who've got accommodation that they want to lease and so on, that is done by the Public Works. SAPS is not involved with that process. And then once they have got the desirable accommodation, Public Works will come back to the SAPS and they will issue a procurement instruction to the regional. Before they come to us, they issue it to the regional office, because we deal with the national Public Works and they will deal with the regional office in that province where we want the accommodation. If it's in the Eastern Cape, they will deal with their Eastern Cape office. And then from there they will confirm to us that they have got now concluded a lease. So once they have done that, we should await for a copy of the lease agreement. But sometimes that takes long between Public Works and the landlord. So they send us a letter of confirmation that in the meantime, while they're working on that, we can go ahead and utilize the accommodation. And then payment of leases will commence on the date of occupation by the SAPS. So once we have occupied, then we will commence with the payment. The total number of leases that we have at this stage is 1,365. Of those, 967 is office accommodation. I have indicated that office accommodation would include police stations as well as any other office accommodation like your head office and provincial office and those ones. And then 91 of the leases in the 2011-2012 financial year are living quarters, which is your barracks and marriage quarters, and then 307 is land. This slide provides a breakdown of the leases as summarized in the previous slide. You can see that the province, for instance, the Eastern Cape, 164 is office space, 16 living quarters, 107 is land, and then the total for the province is 287. And as you go all the way down, Limpopo, there 71, 20, land is 4, and then 95, which comes to the total of 1,365. Now, out of that, the total number of leased police stations is 181. That 181 would include everything. Police stations is 123, there at the bottom, and then 43 are satellite police stations, and then 15 contact points. So the total would be 181. These are only those that are police stations per province. Our expenditure, the allocation for the financial year is 911,562 million. Expenditure up to the end of November 2011 was 568,775,996, and that percentage was 62.4%. What we still had available at that time was 342 million. You will notice that I'm using past tense because in the meantime we are receiving invoices from the Department of Public Works and we are continuing to pay. So the January invoices are still being processed by Public Works. Now we have indicated that we did a verification process for SAPF leases. So what supply chain management did, we went out and we visited the provinces to conduct inspections at all lease facilities and to determine the physical occupation as well as the use to make sure that it is used by the SAPF or if it is accommodation, living quarters, that it is being utilized by our own members. And then meetings were conducted with regional offices of Public Works to verify the leases that were reflecting on our property management information system. And then we compared that information that we received from Public Works with our actual inspections. And then a reconciliation was made. Now with that reconciliation, the leases that we found that were not for SAPS were removed from the report, and then those additions to SAPS portfolio that did not reflect on the property management information system were rectified. So we made a reconciliation. Now, during that reconciliation, the following was found: that we had got four leases that were not utilized by the SAPS, which means there were four kinds of accommodation, as we've indicated there, that in Graaff-Reinet, in Eastern Cape, we had two, one being Graaff-Reinet, and then another one in East London. In Graaff-Reinet, it was a guard house, which was not being utilized by the SAPS, but was indicated as being against the leases that we have. In East London, it was a block of offers. And then in KwaZulu-Natal, there was one which is in Ladysmith. There's also a block of offices. Then in Northwest, we have got one in Themba. Now, what is happening in Themba is that we have got park homes. The park homes belong to the SAPS. But the piece of land on which we have put the park home does not belong to the SAPS. So what is leased is the piece of land. So there was confusion where Public Works thought we were leasing the piece of land as well as the park home. So that has been rectified. So where we say we are still paying, we mean that we are still paying for the piece of land, because the park homes are ours, but the piece of land we are indeed leasing. Looking at our leasing strategy, our aim is to downscale on leases. So continuous efforts are made to reduce these facilities where it is possible. Looking at migrating of current lease accommodations to capital work building program, which means that where we are leasing, we would like to build our own accommodation, a state-owned accommodation, so that we do not utilize leases. Also looking at the possibilities of lease to own, considering various options to ensure that at the end of the day we have got ownership of the facility, fixing of escalation costs of current leases to control exorbitant increase. What happens is that you find the landlord coming up with escalation costs that are very, very high and that are not market related. So what we are saying with Public Works is that when they negotiate the renewal of leases, they should negotiate, say for instance, at 8% per annum, which is market related, so that we are saved from finding that the landlords will put their own 300. Sometimes we get 30% and above of the escalation cost. Then of course, optimal utilization of current lease facilities to make sure that before we can lease anything additional, when there is a need for additional space, that we use that which we have, and also that we do not lease, even if it's a whole block of offices, but we lease only that which we require because we are paying the square meter. This slide indicates the so far where we have downscaled on leasing, which was addressed through Capital Works. We have got, for instance, Bisho Police Station, where we're leasing for the detective unit. Now the Bisho was completed in September 2011, and the detectives have now moved into the police station. So we are saying there we have saved an amount of 991,000 per annum. The Gifray Police Station is the same thing. The police station as well as the detectives were occupying this accommodation, but these were also completed in September 2011 and they are now housed in the police station. The Juberton Police Station is the same, it was completed in April 2011. Kimberley Archives, we have now got our own facility. Craddock Police Station as well, the detective office as well as the crime prevention unit, we're using this accommodation, and then the PARO FSL. The project that we have, which are planned, and as we complete them, we'll be downscaling on the leases, as indicated on this slide. Take, for instance, Benin, the currently they are leasing a police station, but once we have completed, it is envisaged that Benin will be completed during the financial year 2013-2014. We're envisaging that we make a saving of 1.5 million with regards to Benin, and the same with all the other Gunung Park as well as Carltonville. And then in the later years, we have got Goodwood, which we envisage to complete in 2015-2016. Friedenburg Police Station 2015-2016 as well as Stekland. This slide indicates the progress in terms of lease accommodation. We are saying that in the year 2007-2008 we started in terms of residential accommodation with 1,018 leases that we had, and it went down to 874, 141, 105, and currently we are standing at 91. That is the leases that were used for of residential accommodation. Now, to add to what General Ngwenya has indicated with regards to the challenges that we have, the first thing that we're highlighting is the non-payment of landlords on leased properties. And then the result is that we have got lockouts and evictions of personnel from the lease facilities. And as a result of that, we are not able to render a service. Obviously, if members of the community come to report the case at the police station and they find that we have been locked out or we have been evicted, we are not able to render a service. Then another challenge is the non-renewal of leases. At this stage, when we submitted this document, we had 592 requests that were submitted to Public Works of leases that have not yet been renewed. Now, these leases are the ones that have expired between the period 1 April 2011 and those that will expire up to 31st of March 2012. Now, the problem with these expired leases is that we, from the SAPS, we will look like we are not spending in terms of our lease budget. So there will be an under expenditure on the lease budget, and then it also limits our ability to consider additional needs. If we do not know how much we're going to pay for the current leases, even if there is a request for additional accommodation for us to lease, we're not able to lease. So it becomes difficult to plan in terms of meeting the accommodation needs. So the expired leases are currently on a month-to-month agreement. That is that between the public works as well as the landlord. However, with regards to this, the Acting National Commissioner, we have requested the Acting National Commissioner to engage the DG of Public Works in order to address this matter, as well as all our other needs within the environment, the building environment. Just to give you a few examples, we have got protection vehicle safeguarding units where we were locked out due to non-payment by Public Works. So members of the police could not go inside to work, and the community members couldn't go inside there to get assistance in terms of their vehicles that are confiscated by the police, which means that those vehicles were also blocked in. And then in the Eastern Cape, we have got two high sites. One is called Langkoot, and then Framberg. The leases, those leases are also not being paid, and the landlords have locked our high sites. So we do not have access to the high site. If our technicians want to go and work on the communications equipment, they can't go in there because the owners have locked the high site. So it is our, as I've explained, it is our high site, but the land belongs to the landlord. Then Erasmus Police Station, you probably are aware that we have been evicted out of the Erasmus Police Station. What happened is the example that General Mugwenya was citing, the landlord is not BEE compliant. So Public Works said to the landlord they will only renew the lease for a period of 2 years. But the landlord refused and said no, he wants 5 years. And later on said no, 9 years, 11 months. And he took Public Works to court. And then the court ruled in his favor and were evicted. So currently, we are utilizing a state house that is in that same area, and Public Works has identified a piece of land where they will put park homes, but that land is being treated, the soil is being treated because it's a dolomite area. So Public Works is looking at probably around September 2012 that we will be able to move into those park homes. The last one that I want to highlight was here in the Eastern Cape, the Mossel Bay. In the Western Cape? Sorry. The last one is here in the Western Cape, in Mossel Bay. The Dagama Scop is Cluster Commander's offices as well as Kestenhof, the police station where we were locked out last week. Because the end user had not provided information about the needs assessment. So as a result of that, the Public Works was not able to pay the landlord and we were locked out, but that has been rectified. I think you should have.
Thank you, Chairperson. That's the end of our presentation. We do have additional information ready for questions, Chairperson. Thank you. Thank you very much. I've already seen hands, Honorable MG, Honorable Reverend Mishi, Honorable Kolapanat, Honorable George, Honorable Dovo, Honorable Ramakakana, Honorable Bobby, Honorable Dihet, in that order, please.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me thank the presentation. My first question is, what is cheaper and convenient, to lease a building or to build it? My second question is about the need analysis. How do you do the need analysis? Why I'm asking this question is, in my view, it should be, what should be taken into account is the population and the crime in the area and so on. My question is, comes because I've seen in an area called Kaskat, they have two police stations in one village, and the neighboring villages have nothing. My third question is about the living quarters. What happens to the police stations that do not have living quarters? My fourth question is, what are the steps that are taken to prevent a reoccurrence of the contravention of the procurement of prisons? My last question is on the public protector. She made mention of some remedial actions that are to be taken regarding the lease in Pretoria. What action has been taken to implement the remedial action? Thanks, Chair.
Chairperson, thank you so much. My first general question to management is if I conclude that management has been careless or irresponsible, would I be wrong for coming to such a conclusion? And if the answer is yes, I would want to know why I would be wrong to come to such a conclusion. We're told that the audit of the buildings at the lease was done in 2010. I want to know whether there were no audits that were done before that. Now, if the answer is yes, was management approving payments to go to wherever without knowing where the money was going to? And if that's not irresponsibility, I want to know what it is. The second one, they're talking about being evicted from buildings. I want to know why we are approving budgets that's being allocated for leases when the money that is being approved by Parliament is not utilized to pay for the leases. Are they not copied, or are they not demanding that whatever communication that Department of Public Works does on their behalf, that they be copied so that they are not in the dark, but they know exactly what's happening? What is the use of approving budgets when monies are not paid and they are locked out? So are they not copied? Why are they not copied? Seems like they're in the dark, they don't know what's happening. And the third one has to do with assessment that is done after a request has been made for office space. Now, who does this assessment? Is there a committee, or is it an individual who does the assessment? And if it's a committee, it's a committee of how many? And what are they really looking at if they assess whether a person really needs more space or not? The fourth one has to do with escalation costs. Now, in some instances, we are told that there has been 30% escalation costs, which is shocking, which is far above the market related thing. Now, does management just pay this 30% escalation cost? Or is there evidence that they are trying to negotiate and to bring this escalation down because it really does not make sense? It's like money just goes out without any proper controls. And the fifth and last one for now. Payment has been stopped in some cases where it was going for office blocks. Now, why would payment be made for an office block when the whole block is not used? They're only using offices and yet they're paying for the whole office block. I don't understand, and I need explanation on why the whole office block has been paid for when it was not used. And it's like if this committee did not ask for questions, ask for answers, this would be continuing for the next 10 years. Now, do we have management that is truly managing, that is truly in control of the funds that Parliament approves, or I'm not sure what's happening. So I need to know why office blocks were paid when they were not used and only office space was used. Thank you.
Thank you,
Chair.
Could you explain, please, how it is that you as a management team were not aware of how many buildings were leased for the SAPs? Surely you do an annual audit of the very premises you inhabit and everything in them. That is basic business practice. I'm stunned to hear that you had to call for an audit.
How can you not know? It's inconceivable to me. Where is your asset register and who's supposed to be running it? Because I don't think you have any idea where your equipment is, where your premises are, who is housed where. I'm quite stunned to hear that. Now, to hear that the SAT is evicted from various buildings, like common criminals, is beyond worrying. This business of hiring rather than buying, now, is it a SAT decision? Is it a public works decision? Is it a joint decision? We need to know who's taken this decision. And I say this because the SAT today leases 1,365 buildings, living quarters, plots of land, 181 stations, the majority of which are in the Eastern Cape. And year after year, we approve a massive budget, and I'm stunned by the fact that you have no idea really about what in this situation. We've called in your property management section time after time, year after year, and it's never been anything but chaotic. We give a 58 billion rand budget, and we need to know, why are you leasing instead of buying properties so that you may benefit from capital appreciation? And I want to know if it's being prevented by the Department of Public Works. The living quarters around this country are nothing more than slums. I have personally photographed a dead rat in the toilet of one in Johannesburg. Now, I'm receiving reports that Public Works have decided to upgrade a few of them, and they simply tell SAT members, go away. Now, where are they supposed to go to? We cannot have our SAT members going into informal settlements, places where their lives may be in danger. And I actually don't think that our laws allow people to be summarily evicted for renovations. Why is alternative accommodation not being provided for our members? And I'm talking, when I say slums, I'm not exaggerating. I mean, what we saw with rats dead, with one single toilet without a door, and endless corridors that allegedly flood regularly, block after block. It's a death trap, and not a single room had running water or a toilet in them. I was ashamed that we had our members living in that place. And it's just replicated in every province we go to. Why did you fail to provide the Department of Public Works with your immovable asset management plan? Now, this has resulted in this shocking situation where you have month-to-month leases. Why did it happen? Who is being held to account for that failure? And why would you instruct DPW not to renew any leases? And then, of course, it goes on doing exactly that. What is going on? And where do you imagine the SAS members will go when the 1,365 leases are cancelled? Because you know Public Works can't build more than a few. I mean, what have we got here? Five, I think, reported buildings in a year. Where will our SAT members be working? In train stations? I don't understand where the thinking is on this. And finally, the public protector report. It has been referred to. She did instruct that steps be taken against those who acted in contravention of the procurement legislation. Please detail what has been done and to whom. What is the status of the court cases with regard to the Durban and Pretoria leases? I do believe the last Minister of Putnam, the one before, two actings ago, that minister managed to cancel the Durban lease just in time. I don't think that the taxpayers will have to fork out for that ridiculous lease. But certainly we're looking at 611.12 million in contingent liabilities in relation to the Pretoria lease. Please fill us in on where the court case is in that matter, and when it is, the taxpayers will have to cough up that amount.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, please allow me first to comment on the issue which you started with. I'm not just going to make a comment on the issue of sick leave and detectives. You know, Madam Chair, as I was listening to the General, I'm just hoping that their meeting tomorrow is going to produce something. Well, I am saying that, Madam Chair, the problems you have been listing of sick leave in the police service, that's been there. And every time they are raised, the police promise that something is going to be done, like they're doing today. There has been this abuse of sick leave and everything. It has been there. The issue of detectives it has been complained year after year that our detectives are not adequately trained. And I'm hoping that this time is not the usual thing that when issues are raised, we are given a promise that something is, because for instance, she says some day is a meeting tomorrow. I hope that meeting produced something so that this issue of sick leave, because I don't believe that is a big problem. It can be sorted out. But unfortunately, it's going to need men and women who are prepared to take serious action. The question of living quarters, I was going to ask the same question Angie asked, but I'm comforted by their plan. That it looks at least that they are doing something about it, because to me, I don't see why police should leave living quarters. But if you look at the number, from that big number to 91, it shows that they are doing something. And on that one, I must credit them. There's a statement made that lease agreements are relatively quicker to acquire. Probably that's correct, but again, the question is, it's the worst question that has been asked. What is cheaper? Is it cheaper to lease or to have your own property? You know, there was a property which talked about $500 million per annum. And now ask yourself, if you're going to lease for $500, what is it? Would it not be cheaper to buy your own property instead of leasing and paying such huge sums of money? Because you benefit if you've got your own property. At least, like one member said, it appreciates. I look at there's no numbers in this, but the list process. If you look at that list process, this list process, to me, is very good. But what I don't understand, some of the problems we had even last year, why was this process not followed? Where you find that there is this accusation and counter-accusation between Public Works and the SAPS. If you look at this process, if everybody were to follow it, there would be no problem. But why is it not followed? Why is it not followed? You see, the issue of this issue of eviction, I don't think I want to emphasize more, it has been emphasized, but it does work. It comes now to the question I'm asked. Is communication between SAPS and Public Works a problem? Why would departments are supposed to work together? Surely, Public Works, it's a pity they are not there, I don't want to talk about them. But Public Works, surely they're doing their work. If there are any people to do any work there, they're supposed to warn the department. There is this problem. But also Public Works, they've got police money with them. It's not their money. Surely they would not wait to a stage where the police are evicted. I mean, surely there's something wrong with that. That's why I'm asking, what is the communication between the police and Public Works? And who is responsible from the side of the police to make sure that Public Works account to the police? If I give you money, surely you must account to me. The same like police. The police are giving money to Public Works. Public Works must account and say, the public can't just decide, no, I'm not going to pay this one because I'm angry today. When they've been given money by this. Now they say they remove a lot of leases from SA for where it was found. Now my question is, I see you have listed them. Was there any action taken against these people? Because surely, if the police are going to spend money on buildings which they are not using. It means somebody is responsible for that. And why was that somebody? If again it's public works, what did you do about it? Because these are public funds. The fixing of escalation costs is just because I was trying to think, what do you mean about it? If you can help me. What do you mean when you say you are trying to fix escalation costs because they are never fixed? So, the term escalating itself means that they're escalating. Now, you're talking about fixing them. How are you going to do it? So that I'm saying, just for me to know the I've already raised this one. This non-renewal of leases and everything, all I've already raised it. Why is public works doing this thing without consulting the police? Because it's the police that are there. I want to know. That public works just wake up in the morning and say, now we're not going to renew this lease. And surely, if you want to say, I'm not going to renew the lease, surely you must also think about the consequences. The consequences is what you have been talking about right through eviction. Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you to the presenters. Madam Chair, the first question that I want to raise is need analysis. It seems as if there is a problem in the need analysis, because if you see that there are people who are being evicted, who are paying for something that were not used, it's in between. It seems as if the need analysis is not yet taken on board on this matter. Can we elaborate on that? Because it seems as if there is a problem on the need analysis at the end of the day. The second question, Madam Chair, is the signing of the agreement. Most of the time when you sign the agreement, it stipulates how many years you're going to pay, or how many years the agreement will take. Now, in the middle of that agreement, it's changed from 3 years to 5 years. What does it mean? Does it mean, therefore, the person who has signed the agreement didn't read the agreement? Does it mean that the person who signed the agreement didn't know what was he signing? What has happened to that person who has signed that agreement? Because at the end of the day, if the agreement is saying 3 years, then it has to be finished by 3 years. Now, if it's jumped from 3 years to 5 years, there's something wrong in between. Somewhere, somehow, somebody is responsible. The question that will follow immediately after that person who has signed that agreement, where is he or she now? What has happened to him or her? Is it Lubobo? I didn't know that it's in Lubobo. What is going to happen now? Because these evictions and non-payment is because of the misunderstanding between the agreements, arising out of the signing of the agreement. The third question, Chairperson, which I wanted to raise, 592 not renewed by public works. What does it mean? Is it public works that's supposed to renew, or is it the police that's supposed to say we want this renewal? What is in between? Who's supposed to tell who on this matter? Maybe members have asked this question, but I'm trying to find out because I've seen the process of listening. And payment. and so on. But it seems as if there is a problem at the end of the day when you say 592, Department of Public Works said they won't pay for it. What is really going on? Lastly, Chairperson, this question has been raised for quite a while now because there are reports from public protectors, report, and the public protector report only talk about two places, that is Pretoria and Durban. And I was particularly interested to know what has happened, not just to the police now, to the people who are the other side of the agreement. Because it takes two to tango. Not just the police now, the other side of the person. What has happened to that person? What has happened to the agreement as such? Where are we as a department? Thank you, Jefferson.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Just a few questions as well. With regard to the presentation, I just want to ask this question from management. Whether in the process of accounting, in the process of accounting to the AG, in the process of auditing of your financial statement, have you done any declaration? Have you declared any of money that may be characterized or put into a category of fruitless expenditure? And I think fruitless expenditure, if you read the PMFA, you would find the explanation about fruitless expenditure. What is that for? And in fact, if I read the presentation, there is a lot of fruitless expenditure that has been incurred. And I'm asking, have you ever declared this fruitless expenditure with the AG? Because surely, if you have, there should have been a note in your audited books from the AG. And the second question associated to that would be the issue about asset, declaration of this asset and non-asset, that basically in terms of what you have, what you pay, if you have declared everything to the AG, there should have been a note, not just a complete clean audit, so to speak. So I'm just wondering to know whether you do declare this fruitless expenditure, if you have not done before. Based on your presentation here today, are you going to declare this as a sum of the fruitless expenditure? What is contained in your presentation as we sit here today? Third question is, what is the quantity? How do you quantify this, what I call a fruitless expenditure? Maybe it's my term, it's not the management term yet. But it's a term that comes out of the PMSA. What is the quantity? How much is it? What is it that you have already been able to calculate and decide that this is in fact what we can decide and say this is actually a fruitless expenditure based on even the assessment that you've done? I would like to hear what that cost is in terms of your own assessment, and that whether that is going to be ready for the declaration as one of the, because if it's a fruitless expenditure, there is a process to be followed and for us to deal with it as Parliament. The fourth question, what is the role of management? Earlier on, I think the Lieutenant General introduced the presenter as one responsible to this, one responsible to that. Surely there must be a responsibility that is allocated to someone who is dealing with the issue of assets, the issue of logistics, all these issues that deals with accommodation. Now, when you end up in a situation that you end up in as a result of the question from the from Parliament, from the Standing Committee, what are the consequences? Do you, it's said to ask this question, I mean, we have a huge structure and management, not only based in Pretoria, but based in all the provinces, allocated with responsibility, including this, in terms of your logistics. Now that there is this, what is the consequence? What is going to be the consequence? And what is the consequence with respect to national, in terms of this kind of failure, in terms of ensuring that state resources is put where it must be put for efficiency and quality of service, rather than to be going down the drain? That's my term. My characterization is that if you pay for something that you shouldn't have paid for, there is a problem. And what are you going to do as police management? Are you going to arrest some people for this? Because you must characterize it something. Don't you have a service level agreement? And in the event of the breach thereof, there must be a process of repair. Now, if you don't, you end up into this issue about eviction. It's shame to say that the police get evicted. It's very shameful to say the least. This is the state. These are the protectors of our democracy. They get evicted for not paying rent. I understand that the bulk is going to be passed to the Department of Public Works. Maybe they should. We should talk to them at some point, Chair, about this particular question. But is there no level, a service level agreement? Something that troubles me is the general when I was presenting. You take occupation on the basis of a letter of intent or letter of confirmation. Now, I don't know what letter of confirmation is based on the, because if you have a letter of confirmation does not equal a lease agreement with every detail of it. Why must you find afterwards that there is non-compliance with the BEE requirement, and therefore you've got to you have to leave because you've taken occupation based on the letter of confirmation? And what is this letter of confirmation? The letter of confirmation is different than the actual lease agreement. So what's the status of the vote of this document that you go into? Because if you have a proper document, you know the details, you understand that this is not necessarily meeting our requirements, therefore we can take occupation. Rather than 2 years later, then you go to end up in court because there was a letter, you enter in a letter. So the letter then is not what the paper is written on. If that letter is not protecting you in terms of what you're supposed to have as a police in terms of taking that occupation. So the last question, Chair, and sorry for this long-winded question, is this sick leave. It's quite useful or it's, to hear that there is measures that are put in place. But have you found anything with respect to this assessment? The doctor certificate, repeat offenders, those who go frequent to the doctors and they get the same certificate. What has been the your own assessment, the counter assessment, with what consequences of those repeat those who repeatedly submit a certificate and they are not necessarily sick? It would be useful to understand that. The lease and the content of the lease and the quality. I think the one that placed somewhere in Johannesburg, we visited this barrack called Wanbeck. I think it's the Wanbeck barrack, if I remember the night we went there. It's terrible when the police live there. and we were told no, public works is the one that must deal with this issue. I wonder whether anything has been done after that. Because if this agreement enter into their responsibility of maintenance, and if that responsibility of maintenance is not verified, has that taken responsibility to maintain, or is the in fact the owner of the particular building? And now, at the end of the day, nobody knows who must repair this. This is all my question to attend.
Thanks, Chairperson, and let me thank the delegation from SAT's head office, in particular the presenters. I was tempted to ask questions that lead to other issues of police, but then I reprimanded myself that no, these questions won't be relevant today because the focus will be on the lease. Thought I was going to ask about the detectives as well, about the other issues, but then I reminded myself that I should confine myself to today's presentation. So I think that will be acceptable. Otherwise, you will lose track of what you have to respond on. General Ngwenya and your team, my question also relates to the evictions. I don't think these evictions started this financial year. And if they started this year, I'm speaking under correction, if they started this financial year, I would like to know what led to these evictions. And if they have been there in the previous financial year, I would like to know the mechanisms, the remedies that were put in place to ensure that the situation doesn't recur. Because it's quite disgracing to find police being evicted. You indicated that money gets deposited into the account of public works. What is it that you did? What is it that you have done when you realize that you have paid the money where it's supposed to go and the people haven't rendered the service which they have supposed to render, that is the Department of Public Works or the sister department. The other thing, General, with your delegation, what I'd like to find out is actually the request. You have indicated the number of leases as per province. What I'm going to request is a breakdown according to regions. Why am I going to ask that? For instance, we have barracks in certain provinces. I would like to know, if I go to that province, who is responsible for maintenance of these barracks in this region of this province? And lastly, the very question that I've asked, who's responsible for maintenance? I repeat it, who is responsible for maintenance of these buildings? Whether they are your buildings, or they are the buildings that you have leased. Because we have been to police stations where the condition, whether it's in cells or with cells, ablution systems, whether it's with barracks, is quite appalling. So I'd like to find out who's actually responsible to ensure that these buildings are kept in good condition. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Let me also thank the presenters. And also agree with you, Chair, at your opening remarks that we have visited five provinces. There seems to be no improvement in how we deal with the issues there. Since the national office is not doing anything to improve on the tool that we are using when we visit the provinces. And also, Chair, allow me to take advantage and bring to the notice of these presenters from the national office that when we were in Limpopo, we visited Mankweng Police Station. They are doing a very good job. in processing the new firearms licenses applications, as well as the renewals in taking them to the applicants. They're doing well, actually, they had none at that particular time. And I want to bring this to your attention that at Mankweng, an application or a new renewal will take a week, and it will take another week at the provincial office. When it comes to the national office, it takes about 8 months. That's quite a long period. And people, generally the public, the communities of this country are complaining about that service delivery. We discussed with designated police officer in that office how can we remedy that, and we came to a conclusion that we need to beef up your national office in order to expedite the finalizing of new application and renewals of firearms. Second issue is that probably you need to give mandates to the provinces to do everything because they take too long.
Can I interrupt you just say, I would definitely not allow the department to respond to those questions for today on licenses and posts because it will actually take us away from our focus. So yes, I would definitely want to comment about this, but can we confine ourselves to
okay, I was merely agreeing with you, Chairperson, at the opening remarks. Now, when you come to a reconciliation of your leases, you were saying that about 4 units were not utilized by SAPS. Now, my question is that how do you going to recover the expenditure on those 4 units that were not utilized by SAPS? And then lastly, Chair, on the living quarters, we generally the living quarters that we have visited were under PETS state, and here in the Eastern Cape we've got 16 living quarters, KwaZulu Natal 16, Western Cape 14, and there is this discrepancy of Mpumalanga with no living quarter. I ask myself, are people there not, don't we have people that need living quarters? Thanks, Chair.
Okay, maybe first let me welcome Honorable Dube. Yes, Dube, a member of the age who I think is replacing Honorable Swati. And you must welcome, saying I think you are going to enjoy this committee. Probably today you will feel loved, but as we continue with our work, you find it quite interesting. And I don't know whether you want to ask the questions again. No.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks for the welcome. I would like to a small request for Tino Wenga. On the slide on the planned project to scale down on leases, there is, for instance, the police station at Rutan, and you mentioned Sanin. I would like, if it's possible, to give some additional information regarding what is the current lease amount per annum, the cost of the new building, the estimate cost of the new building, and what will be the yearly lease payback on that amount once it's finished, the building is finished. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Commissioner, members, I just want to know as to what is the role of provinces in the NISN process. And in this regard, I'm referring to provincial commissioners' offices and so on, because they themselves have supply chain units in what is their role. And if they were to play any role, why is it not possible for them to establish if their leased buildings are paid for before they are actually evicted? So one is interested in this, to know that. I also would want to know on the issue of eviction. I think maybe the question has been asked, but I still want to know, what are the budget implications in the case of evictions? When you are evicted, what happens to the money? We've not seen any rollovers from the department. You spend every cent every year and so on. What happens then? And exactly when are you informed about evictions, that you'll now be evicted by the DPW or whoever? When are you informed? Is it that you wait for the landlord to come to your office and inform you that I'm evicting you, to an extent that they will lock your office with the vehicles inside? When do you get to know about it? These leases that you've presented to us today, what processes did they follow? Were they negotiated leases, or they followed the whole procurement process? Are they market related in as far as you are concerned, all of them? And in this regard, I just want to go to some of them which you provided here. This will be Eastern Cape, page 4. For instance, page 5. A building spiritual services in the Eastern Cape. I don't know. Okay, this will be in East London. You are paying 155.92 per square meter. Again, in East London, for VISS, which I do not know what it is, industrial leases, you are paying 292.70 per square meter. 292.70 per square meter. In King Williamstown, for new vehicle store, Slipknot Investment, you are paying R399.17 per square meter, if I'm correct. In Jeffreys Bay, for stock theft, I think probably stock theft unit, you are paying R123.50. LCRC, we are paying R165 per square meter. With this very long list, page 12, roads, I don't know what are these high sites, you are paying R197 per square meter. Living quarters,
how much is this one?
197 per square meter. Living quarters, and this will be 8 and H. You are paying R748 per square meter, according to the information. R748 per square meter. This is what is here. Living quarters, R748 per square meter. This would be Eastern Cape. Probably for Free State, according to this information, it's police station in Virginia, where you're paying R135 per square meter, according to this information that is here. For Gauteng, it's high side, you're paying R193 per square meter. I'm not sure whether this is correct, really, because I wouldn't know whether I don't want to believe that it is correct. It's the unit is not there. However, the lease name is here, Kempton Park Tembisa. You are paying 1,625 per square meter. For head office, Kempton Park Airport Company, you are paying 136 rand per square meter. In Pretoria, around Pretoria, you are paying 140 rand per square meter. In Mid City Property Services, you are paying 127 rand per square meter. But in the same city somewhere, you are paying 35 rand, 23 rand per square meter. You are paying for 4 River Trading ISM Carrier Management, 136 rand per square meter. In Mamelodi, city of Tswane, you are paying 307 rand 95 cent per square meter. This is the Gauteng and is it 27? For I also am interested to know, for the accommodation of Metro Police, because this is Eburuleni Metro Police, who is paying for that, because it is here. And according to this information, for Eburuleni Metropolitan, you are paying CID Eburuleni Metropolitan, you are paying 1,292 rand per square meter. For police station Eburuleni MC, you are also paying 1,292 rand per square meter. I think it is still in Gauteng, Vereeniging. You are paying 293 rand 99 cent for trial unit, and don't know what is organized crime. To Vereeniging Trust, 293 rand 99 294. For Camper Down, this is KZN now. Camper Down High Side. You are paying 1,046 rand per square meter. At the same time, Chatsworth High Side, Beacon Ridge Primary School, you are paying 14 rand 64 cent. Now, I want to know it. There are some of these that you've not provided information, and I don't know. This is KZN, page 30. For transport property, I don't know, it's high side here, you are paying 208 per square meter. I think the list is endless. Mzumbe, this is rural. PSS, Eskom Enterprises, you are paying 428 rand per square meter.
Mzumbe? Yes.
It's in Duba Duba, LCRC, Isijula property, you are paying 142 rand per square meter. It's Mapec, VISS, Silver Moon Investment. You are paying 1,232 rand per square meter. Now, I don't know whether this information really that we have here, because I wish it was not correct. Because if it is correct, then I can't believe it. And that is why I'm actually asking as to whether the process of procurement was followed. And this was the lowest bidder that you could take in all this. I just want to know, if this is according, at least term is 5 years, for instance, this $1,000 presented to, it's a 5-year term. Mm-hmm. Now, one is very interested to know as to, first, is this information correct? Is this the amount that you are paying for this square meter in both urban areas and most rural areas and semi-urban as well? And you know where you pay, if you're paying 1,100 and something in the same city, you're paying 364 rand and 30 something. Why? I also would be interested to know, because in Mpumalanga I visited the head office there, and they are occupying a building, squashed in that building. Yet there is an area that they are supposed to occupy. They installed some infrastructure such as cables for computers and all, and yet in fact their understanding was that the department did not enter into an agreement that included that area. Later it was found that no, in fact you are paying for the department and therefore you are investigating. You want to know as to where is the investigation and for how long must they remain in the offices wherein they are squashed, and why it is taking so long. And in Mpumalanga, I attended their award giving ceremony. There is a business person who said he was going to give them, I think, 500,000 per year. And when I asked what they're going to do with that donation, they said they're going to renovate some police stations. I think they identified two. But so far, they're still waiting for you to finish the process so that they can then renovate before that donation goes away. So I just want to know as to what has happened in that regard. I'm just asking because at least I come from Bumana. You are saying, in fact, not even now, even in the past, you said you want to reduce businesses. However, according to the information that is before us, you've not done it. As a matter of fact, you've increased. So when exactly do you intend reducing this? Can you explain as to why, despite the decision that you've taken to reduce, but you are increasing instead? 2007-08 office accommodation, you had 760. 2008-09, of course, they came down to 750. 2009-10, 735. But then they started to go up to 745 to 967. Why are you increasing when, I mean, 2 years ago you had said you want to decrease them? Land, 250, 270, 295, 292, 307. Police station, it's been 180, but then later it's 181. So you see it, you want to reduce, but in actual fact you're not effecting that program of reducing these leases. Yet they are, I want to believe that they are nothing but a nightmare. What is it that you want to do? Do you want to have your police stations? Do you want to buy? Probably as the question has been asked, do you want to buy? What is this? We visited Honeydew Police Station in Johannesburg. It's this contract. However, each time you bring in, what are these movable caravans or whatever? Yes, each time you bring one, the money is added. Yes, you bring it to that land, it means more money that you are to pay to. And the management, the maintenance is not done by the landlord. It's done by, because for me, I think there's serious confusion as to who is responsible for what and how do you ensure that people keep to the agreements that you sign with them and so on and so forth. What are the issues here? I think those are questions so far. I would probably, we'll probably have another round of questions. The EST outside, we will take a 10 minutes, 15 minutes tea break. So it's 10:20.
Thank you very much. We will be responding to the questions. We will try not to be shifting blame to either the Department of Public Works or people who were part of this management before ourselves. Coming to the correctness of the information contained in the document that the chairperson is having, that information was taken as is from the Department of Public Works, who are the custodians of the buildings and the leases. The information was taken as is. So we are not in a position to verify the correctness thereof. There was a question, and maybe even before I start responding, I think it's important to indicate that we will be responding as a team. There will be those that are responded to by the general and the other members of the team. Chairperson, there was this question as to where it was asked. Is it cheaper?
Can I just ask the question? Because I really cannot understand you when you say you cannot verify the correctness of this document. Because I take it that this document talks to the money that you pay as the Department of Police.
The budget.
So surely you should be knowing that indeed this is the amount that we are paying on the basis of this committee, and therefore this information is correct. I can't imagine the Department of Police saying we're not sure as to whether this information is correct, because then if that is the case, then how are you paying for your leases? You're basing your payments on what if the department, the information that you have, cannot be confirmed as to whether it is correct or not correct.
Madam Chair, just to confirm what you have said, that's why I was referring to this question. If you look at the sequence here, computation of cost names, and then it comes with a field cost, and then approval of funds by the police. Now, that's the question I was going to ask. How can now the general say no, it cannot be verified? I mean, I assume if you follow this sequence of this diagram, then it means that information that is there with you, if it is with public works, it must also be with the police.
Chairperson, I'll have Lieutenant General inform me responding to
thank you, Chairperson. What we were explaining is that that information is obtained from the information management system of the Department of Public Works. So that is what we got directly from them. But what we do know and what we do verify is the, like the, if I can call it the invoice that we get from the Public Works on a monthly basis in terms of the amount that we pay. So that, as it stands, the chairperson, our understanding of the question was whether that is correct, that it is indeed what we are paying. That's why we are saying we are not able to say that information which Public Works has put on their system is correct or is not correct, because it's Public Works that is populating the information on that document. So what we check is the report, what we call the pay report, that we get on a monthly basis from Public Works in terms of the accommodation.
No.
Department, are you saying you're not keeping any information on the leases? Is this what you're saying, that you have absolutely no information that you are keeping, that you can actually compare and retrieve as subs and say this is the information, this is the money that you are paying it? Is this what you are saying? That either then, and therefore you can actually be paying, as you have said maybe in your presentation, that you found that you are paying for leases that are not there. What information do you keep as a department that says we are paying for 1, 2, 3, 4 this amount?
In the accounting system, there is called the reconciliation. You have your capital this side, you have the expenditure this side, and you compare that. I think the chairperson is asking that. What do you have, what you are paying for, because you have already budgeted that amount. That's the thing that you are talking about. If does not reconcile, and you say that it's coming from Public Works only, do you mean therefore it's only expenditure, there is no reconciliation?
Thank you, Chair. Again, Chair, we were talking to specifically information that is contained in that document. When it comes to reconciliation, we do have a process where there is verification, hence the Lieutenant General indicated that we receive invoices, and obviously prior to paying the processing payment that talks to the invoice, there will be that process that will be done to ensure that there is verification in terms of what is contained in our list. We do have information, we do have a management information system, hence we indicated that one of the kennels here is responsible for management of information. We do have a system that for managing information.
May I ask, Chairperson, how long it will take for them to verify if that information compares with what they have in the system? Because they must have copies of everything that PWD is doing for them. So if they have to check that, to verify that information, whether it corresponds with what they have on their system, how long would that take? Can next week we have in writing what they can confirm to be on their record?
Chair, on the presentation, talking about verification process for SAP leases, and you detailed this by saying when you were doing reconciliation, there were 4 units that were not utilized. I'm not sure now why there's no verification.
And if you have your own information, why did you give us the DPW information? Why did you not take your own information and give it to us? Because we've invited subs, not DPW, so that you give us the correct information. And as a matter of fact, you're not saying this information is wrong, but you are actually saying you're not sure. I mean, really, when did you receive this information? And why did you not get your information to give it to us? Why DPW information and not your information? I'm really asking you. And
thanks, Chair. I think the request for additional information that talks to the list was received yesterday. I was told yesterday in the evening around 9 when I arrived that there was additional information that was requested for. If we can be allowed, Chairperson, we are willing to forward to the Portfolio Committee information that we are having that talks to the SAPS bearing, and also the talking to the process of verification as requested by Honorable Mishwe. If we can be allowed, we will be providing next week if it's time. Can I proceed in responding, Chairperson? Thank you. There was this question that talked to whether what is cheaper between leasing and building. We believe building is cheaper. One indicated that we will try and respond to the questions without necessarily pushing a blame to people that are not here. We have taken a decision as management to say we need to ensure that we build police stations, office accommodation, to ensure that we move away from this leasing, because we have seen that it costs us a lot of money, and those buildings remain to their owners. Yes, when we look at the strategy, we seem to be going back. The challenge that we're having, we even discovered when we did our evaluations, assessments, that there has been a backlog in terms of building police stations and all those things. And obviously that could be attributed to challenges which were faced, if they were challenges by the previous management. It is a fact that some of the people who were responsible for this environment, if not most of the leadership that was responsible for this environment, are currently not here. And we unfortunately have to respond to some of those things. And I must say, as this management, we have put on measures to ensure that we are correcting a lot of those. One of the questions was that what informs our needs analysis, why in some of the villages you will have two police stations that are nearer to each other, and then you find a situation where some of the villages do not have police stations. We are also grappling to understand what informed the distribution of police stations previously. What we are doing to correct that, and maybe even before I go there, I can indicate that in one of the areas in Pretoria, in the city, in one of the suburbs, we discovered that there is an area where you find about 3 to 4 police stations where you can walk four kilometers, a distance of 4 kilometers to each of the police stations. Yet you find a situation where people are traveling about 80 kilometers, a distance of 80 kilometers, there is no police station. What are we doing to correct that situation on the issue of distribution of police stations? We recently finalized the accessibility study, which is a process that is championed by the Department of Public Administration to say, where government says we want to see a situation where South Africans are traveling a distance of about 4 kilometers to reach the services. And we took the same route to ensure that a feasibility study is, accessibility study is conducted. And we have just finalized the phase 3 of that process, which informs us where are the current police stations, where are the current
satellite police stations and also the contact point, and to say where are the needs, and we believe with that process we will be able to correct. I must say it may not be an immediate thing, but we have already aligned the processes to ensure that supply chain management in whatever they are doing towards building police stations and satellite police stations, they take into consideration the outcome of the accessibility study that has been conducted. What steps are taken to correct the procurement irregularities, which also in a way talks to some of the remedial actions which were cited in the public protector's report. What we did, we did an audit on our own processes, and we strengthened where we had identified gaps. We tried to close the gaps. We ensured that where there were no control measures, there are control measures that are put in place. Because this also talks to the other part of the report of the public protector, where questions were asked in terms of where are we in terms of the contract or the issue of the building with the public protector. In terms of the lease, the Department of Public Works took a decision to go to court for purposes of nullifying the lease. As the SAPS, we were not consulted as an organization that had an interest. Why I'm saying as an organization that had an interest is we are having an interest by reason that the building was procured for the SAPS. We were not part of it. It's only at some stage where we were invited to be consulted. But even during that meeting, it was indicated that we seem to have been mistakenly invited. Public Works is busy with the process. They are the people that are busy with the cause. They indicated that we are not part of the process. But we remain an interested organization by reason that the building was procured for us.
Could you explain then, if you're not involved and it has nothing to do with you, and at no stage were you involved, you were invited by mistake to a meeting about this, why have you set aside the over 600 million rand contingent liability? Are you saying even though you were in no way involved, you're going to have to pay, or are we somehow being misled here? Because this is what is set aside on your budget to pay for that lease, which you say has nothing to do with you. So I don't understand. If it has nothing to do with you, then why are you having to pick up the money, pay the bill?
And from yourself, why would you wait for Public Works to call you? Because surely you are correct, General, to say you are interested party. Why do you not initiate a meeting with Public Works? You have the legal unit and the department. What is it there for if it cannot, on behalf of the department, intervene in matters such as this, when you are the ones that are going to carry the liability in an event they lose that case? How can you sit and wait and as if you're not worried about the fact that it's this number of millions that you are liable to pay? That's that. And secondly, General, I leave the strengthening of anything to us politicians. We expect a specification from yourself as management. We strengthen things. You're going to tell us as to how you are strengthening them when it comes to remedial actions that you've taken to ensure that we don't see the repeat in the procurement process. So we want the actual steps that you have taken to strengthen. We will say we strengthen the politicians, we don't do things that we expect you to be specific as to what exactly have you put in place. You told us, General, that here we have Mfume, who is Deputy National Commissioner, but Divisional Commissioner as well. when we introduced to the delegation that is here. Now we want to know as to what steps have you put in place to ensure that the repeat of what we saw is not going to happen.
Thank you, Chair. My colleagues will be talking to the specifications, which are also, I think they were part of the responses of the report in responding to the issues which were raised by the public protector. Yes, Chair. We remain an interested party on the issue of the lease with the Department of Public Works. However, what one might have omitted to mention is that in our management meetings, our top management meetings, where we meet on a weekly basis, the previously it was Deputy National Commissioner's meeting. Lately, it's also the National Commissioner's meeting, because even the acting National Commissioner sit with us. We have been continuously discussing the issue of the building, where even a decision was taken to assign the Deputy National Commissioner Fiscal Resource and our legal executive legal officer to engage public works. I must say we did try and secure meetings, and there have been these changes in public works where you find that there is this acting DG, and then while you secure the meeting, and then when you inquire, there is someone else. That is one of the challenges which we have been facing. And we remain an interested party. Why I say so, also in KwaZulu-Natal, the process was also stalled, where they were procuring a building for KZN, and the provincial office, they remain with that need. They need the offices, and also in the recommendations by the public protector was that we should procure accommodation, and in particular for the FCS, including the province itself. We are not able to move by reason that there is this court process which we do not want to interfere with, Honorable Jefferson. One of the questions that was raised was, have management been irresponsible and or careless? As this management, we believe we are doing a lot to ensure that we are correcting the situation. I indicated we have put in measures, and the chairperson indicated that she would want us to take through the specifics, which I believe the colleagues who are responsible for the technicalities will be able to detail those. And where we are not able to give all the information, we'll request that we be given an opportunity to respond in writing next week. It's a no. It's a big no, Honorable. It's a big no. We are not irresponsible and careless. Are you saying the previous management?
Yes.
Oh, if you say so, Honorable Chairperson. They might have to answer for themselves as to whether they were irresponsible or not. The issue of the annual audit, why was the annual audit only conducted in 2010? That was the period during which this management that is currently answering took over the administration. And none of people that are here were part of the management before. We were all at lower levels. Hence, when we took over, we saw the necessity to ensure that the audit is being conducted. We probably are appreciating this honorable way. However, I don't think that as this portfolio committee
you are keen to accept that explanation. Because when you leave, those that will come will be telling us about you. That you did not do 1, 2, 3, and therefore we have again to listen to them. Some of the people that are there have indeed been in senior management. I can actually count a number of them. The divisional commissioners that are there have been in the management ever since I became the chairperson of the divisional committee. So the face that I've been seeing ever since I sat in this portfolio committee. And I want to believe that some such people are there and available to respond. The question that was asked by some members is to say, what then have been consequences for such a mess, if you were to give it a name, a mess? And the possibility is that some of the people that were there have been promoted.
Yes.
Now, we don't see these things leading to anything which probably say we acknowledge this mess and therefore these are the consequences. So I don't think General Ngwenya personally, but I think even the portfolio committee is willing to accept the explanation that says we're not there and therefore we're not there and therefore I don't think I am. I'm more than prepared to understand for now when the acting national commissioner says I'm still new to say okay, we still give you the honeymoon period. But none of you is in any honeymoon with this portfolio committee now. So, yes, we're talking about the reduction, which is your decision, which has not been implemented. We're asking these questions. We're talking about the payment that you are doing every month. Today, this month, you'll be paying for these leases, and you're paying these exorbitant rates. And these are the things that you're talking about. So I don't think that really is the explanation that we are keen to hear in this meeting. It's not going to assist this meeting. So I just want to say that really the only person for now I'm prepared to understand to be in honeymoon with the portfolio committee is the acting national commissioner over this time frame, and we're going to tell him that our honeymoon is over. We're expecting you now to be in charge of the department until such time that we know exactly what the situation would be. Just want to say that.
Noted, Chairperson. I will continue with the responses. One other question was that why is it so difficult for us to communicate with the Department of Public Works? It is not a problem for us to communicate. Hence, we even indicated it's also on the board where we are saying the acting national commissioner is currently engaging the department. It's just that with a situation where there have been continuous changes of people that are leading the department, obviously there has not been continuity within the department. And then signing of the agreement, we do not sign agreements as the SAPS. It is the Department of Public Works that signs the agreement. And then there was, Honorable Chairperson, there was this question from Mr. Ndlovu where he wanted to know what is happening to the other party, the other side, but it was not clear as to who is he referring to, and we'll request maybe clarity so that we're able to respond on that one. I will leave the other questions to my colleagues to respond, and maybe we'll come back to others as we proceed. Chairperson, thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Maybe just to explain in terms of the needs assessment, what we
we meant, and it will also be answering the chairperson's question with regards to the role of the provincial commissioner. If a provincial commissioner or a divisional commissioner, there are two processes. Let us say, for instance, we recently opened the family and child sexual offences unit. So, in establishing those, it means that we need to get them accommodation. So the provincial commissioner will submit his or her needs to head office, SAPS head office, and say, I have got a need for office accommodation to accommodate the SPS unit. And then that's where that process, which we are explaining in that diagram, will occur. Now, let us say we have, okay, before I go to the next step. So then once they have done that, we have got our demand section, which is at supply chain management. They will look at the needs, where the provincial commissioner will say, I have got so many members. Of these members, these are the investigating officers, and this will be the commander, and so on. That is why we require the structure of that FPS unit, as well as the REC, the resource allocation guide, which we get from organizational development, to say that these will be the numbers of people who will be working in that unit. So our demand section will then take those documents and then complete the needs analysis. And that is the document, the norm document that we get from the, as approved by the National Treasurer. So all departments use that, where you will complete, you know, and say, people of a certain level, we have got so many, and so on. So we just put information on that document. And then it is that document that we, from a head office side, will submit to the public, Department of Public Works. And then they will use their information to determine the size of the building that they are looking for. Now, once that has been done, and then comes the whole process as explained there. So let us say now we have got an accommodation, where in that accommodation it is a 2 year, or 10 years, 99 years lease, whatever. Let us say we are in that lease. Now, we have got a supply chain management, a process to check the leases that will expire, say, in the next 6 months. Then, if there is a lease or leases expire every month, under the chairperson. Now, for the leases that are going to expire in the current 6 months, we will say to the provincial commissioner or the divisional commissioner, those people whom we call end users, we will say to them, this lease is going to expire, say, end of May. Kindly indicate to us whether you still require that need and that lease, and what are your needs. So they will submit the needs. So where the provincial commissioner is sitting, he will not necessarily know whether the landlord is being paid or is not being paid. And that is why he will, the landlord as well as the municipalities, that is why he will come to work, or his station will come to work one day and find that there are no lights, or that the water has been cut off. So the provincial commissioner will not know. All he does is to submit his needs to us, and we do the processing. Now, and then of course we check our funds available and so on, and then we process by submitting to Public Works, who will then be able to link up with the landlord. So it is those two processes that I wanted to indicate. One is where we are starting a new lease, which is what we explained in that diagram, but the other one is where the lease is already there, but it's about to expire, and then Public Works needs to engage in the negotiations with the landlord and say, okay, we want to extend, and so on. And that's where these problems come, where, as I've explained, the landlord will say, no, I don't want 2 years, I want 9 years, or I want 5 years, and so on.
When payments are made, when do they get receipt of payment or proof of payment? Because like when the lease expires, for example, or if there is non-payment, they should be able to know whether the money they paid has been utilized for the purpose or not. So at what stage do they get proof of payment? And why don't they demand if they don't get it?
So what happens is that, Honorable Chairperson, the Department of Public Works, previously, they used to submit what we call a PACE report, like a report that indicates all the leases that we have and the amounts that we must pay. So I shall call it an invoice. They used to submit that on a quarterly basis, but from last year they are submitting it on a monthly basis. So we take that report that we get from Public Works to say this is the amount that we need to pay, and then we compare it with our own records, where we will then be able to say, but according to your report, you have paid this, you have not paid, you know, a certain lease that we know we are utilizing. Or for this one, you have paid more than what it is said in your agreement. So we, that's when we say we do that reconciliation. In the event that we have paid more than what is agreed, the next invoice that they send us will then come, they will subtract that money that we had paid more. So there will not be an instance where we are paying more continuously, but there is that continuous reconciliation between the report that we get from Public Works to sort of claim the money that we must pay and that which we pay. So we don't just pay what they are submitting to us. And of course, yeah, as I said, we report these discrepancies as well as those ones as I've indicated before. Now, maybe I must talk to the four immediately. With regards to those four, we were just showing the portfolio committee, as remember when we came previously, General Cruiser indicated that at that stage, we were not sure about how many leases we have, we were not sure about what are we paying for the leases. So we're trying to show the committee that indeed we went back and we did the checking and what the general was calling the audit, but that audit was done by us. It was not like we got someone from outside to do the audit. It was through the visits to the provinces that we did that. So we're showing the committee that during that process, so far we found this form that Public Works would put on our report, but we were not utilizing them. We did not pay for those ones. So there was no fruitless expenditure. We did not pay for them. We indicated to Public Works that, listen, this one we are not supposed to pay because we are not utilizing, even those offices, we are not utilizing any office in that whole office block. So we did not pay. One of them in KwaZulu-Natal, we are utilizing our own Pakom, but we pay for the land. So we are refusing to pay for the land and the Pakom. Just to explain on that one.
For clarity's sake, General, the four that you're talking about, are you saying you did not pay? Even at the time when you were auditing, you found that they were in your list, however, you had not paid for them. Is this what you are saying? And secondly, do you have a copies of lease agreements so that you can know whether you're paying the correct amount?
We do not have, there was also a question on that, Madam Chairperson, we do not have copies of all the lease agreements. Those are kept with Public Works. That is why I also said once they have entered into a lease, they will submit a letter of confirmation to us to confirm that now they've entered into a lease, it's okay for us, we may now go ahead and occupy. So, in terms of the reports that we get, you will find that there are different buildings that are placed on that report every month. You know, the report changes every month. So there will be some buildings that we do not know of, and we immediately ask them, what is this building? We do not know about it, and we do not pay for it. So the information that I have is that we did not pay for those four buildings that we have indicated.
Madam Chair, just one question. You know, my good general is trying to explain that. I'm getting to understand what she's saying.
You see, on these number of leases claimed, not for SAPS, I just want to be clear so that tomorrow we don't get it. Are you saying, I hear you say action payment stopped? Because payment stopped, to me, indicates that you're paid, but you stopped. You see? So now, payment stopped. But if I listen to what you're saying now, you seem to be saying you have never paid. So let's get clarity. At what stage did you stop this payment? Were their payments already paid before you stopped? And if that is the case, how much was it?
We're investigating if you did not pay.
Sir, Chairperson, I didn't hear what you were saying.
What are you investigating?
No, we are not investigating. We are not investigating. All we were, as I've indicated, all we were saying is to say we checked this thing and for instance, these are the ones that we have checked and we found that, you know, they had sort of charged us, but we did not pay for. Maybe our saying payment stop means that we did not pay it, you know, that's what we meant, that we never paid for it. And then that other one, I think I've already explained.
Can I follow up?
Yes.
Can I get assurance that no office block was paid for? Is that what you're hearing? Because according to this, there was a stoppage. So are you saying only the office was paid for and not the whole office block?
Okay, I will ask General Manzi to also respond to that. But except for the last one, Madam Chairperson, except for the last one in KwaZulu-Natal, we are not using it. We are not using, is it not west, sorry, the Themba one, the Themba, in
not,
where I've said.
Not west. Not west.
Okay. I'm saying, except for the Themba, where we said it's a piece of land where we put our own park home. We are not paying for the park home, but for the piece of land, except for that one. All the other three, whether it's an office, one office or office block, we have not. We don't even occupy offices there. General Manzi can also. We are not occupying anything there.
I think it's generally complicated things. Because if you are not paying for anything, now but here speaks about payment. Now, here speaks about payment. What are they paying here?
Thank you, Madam Chair. What is happening with our processes of reconciliation when we receive the paid report from the Department of Public Works? We identified those as were already in the paid report for a payment by the SAPS. We indicated to Public Works that these do not belong to us, and we did not pay. We stopped the payment before it could even happen. The only thing that we are still paying, like General Mofume is indicating, we are only paying for the piece of land in terms of Themba. It's a continuous process where we do the reconciliation. Whatever we identify not to be in our portfolio, we indicate to Public Works, this is the discrepancy that we have identified. We are not going to pay for this one because we are not occupying. That is why how we know about it, our verification process revealed all those facilities that we are utilizing, those that we are occupying. And in terms of office block, even if the building can be seven floors, if we are only using 5,000 square meters, we only pay for what we are utilizing, not for the whole office block.
Yes. Now, if they're not paying anything here, I do not understand why were we given this, because here it says payment and somewhere it says stop. You are paying for something and you have stopped payment. Yeah. Okay. On the block is stopped and on the office is payment. Unless it's been done properly.
Sorry, ma'am. In fact, if this block was big enough, where it says property code, guard house would have been on the same line, right? And then payment stop would have been on the same line.
So the stock went below because, you know, of the space here. So what we are saying is that instead of paying, we stopped the payment. We did not pay. In East London, waiters of office block, you know, we are saying it's a block of offices. We did not pay for anything. We are not utilizing anything.
Clarify for me. By stopping payment means you were at some stage making a payment. That's what it says to me in English. So are you saying that at no stage did you ever pay? So why does it not just say not paid? Or no payment made or something? Because this actually is, we're reading it, the whole committee is reading it and saying at some stage you were paying and then you stepped in and said, oops, we actually aren't, we're not using any of these offices, so we better quickly stop it. I hope that really isn't the case.
Yes, the matter, the truth of the matter is that no payment was made.
Thank you, Chairperson. It's not worth it. It's timber in not worth it. It's in Gauteng. Thank you, Chair. This is Kwani.
Okay. No, it's true. Temba, even according to us, Temba Police Station is now in Gauteng. But in terms of the demarcation, it still showed as Northwest. But
yeah,
it's the same place that we are talking about. So, yes. Chairperson, if I may proceed with regards to the living quarters that needed to be renovated. We did have a big story also in the media about the in Pretoria, the Pretoria Central Barracks, where we have said the places to be renovated, and the question is, why didn't we give people an alternative accommodation? What we usually do is the people are given a 3-month notice to say that accommodation is living quarters will be renovated, and that they should look for alternative accommodation. We do not have, as the SAPS, or if I can say Public Works, does not have alternative accommodation for the members. An option, it means if we need to get alternative accommodation for the members at such a short notice of 3 months or whatever, as we have started planning, it would mean that we must build another barrack for them, or we must lease another barrack, you know. So that is why we give them 3 months to say that please find alternative accommodation. We are going to renovate, and once we have renovated, the members will move back in.
How long did it take in the case of Pretoria, for instance? How long did the process of renovation take?
It's just going to start, Chairperson. They were told in September, that they must vacate end of January. And so it was the 3 months notice that they were given. So only now will the Public Works continue with the renovation. Do you know how long it is? It's 9 months. Project. Maintenance of leased facilities. It is the responsibility of the landlord to maintain leased facilities. We only do the consumables such as replacement of light bulbs. So what happens is that the station or the office that requires any maintenance, if there's a maintenance problem, they will report that to the Public Works, and then Public Works will link up with the owner to come and do the repairs. The question is to whether we want to take over the leasing functions from Public Works.
The landlord is responsible. Is this what is happening? I'm checking. How do you ensure that the landlord does that? Because the police stations that we visited, some of the barracks that we visited, they are definitely not maintained, not by the landlords themselves. Honeychew, for instance,
it's a case in point. I'm interested to know. You're explaining that you're paying for the land and so on. You know, you're paying for the park homes and not for whatever. Honeydew, they told us that they are paying for everything. When they bring a park home, then the landlord will add money. That's what they told us. They add money on the basis of the park home that is put on the land. So they are renting for park homes that belong to SAPS. And they are literally, they are actually maintaining Honeydew. In terms of maintenance and all, they are, the SAPS is, because the landlord is not doing it. Now, you're telling us about that which is supposed to happen. I want to know as to what exactly is happening.
Request General Nancy to respond to that.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It is true that our buildings, even those that are leased, are in a very bad state. We have taken it up with the Department of Public Works because they are responsible. They are not even allowing us to communicate directly with the landlord. We are taking the matter up with the Department of Public Works in terms of that. And at some stage, the Divisional Commissioner even said, we are not even going to pay for this landlord, as long as they are not doing maintenance, because we are paying. So that is really a problem, Madam Chair, and we are engaging the Department of Public Works. And how far do they take the process further with the landlord? We are not part of any negotiations thereof.
If I remember correctly, at Honeydew, we were made to understand that it is SAPS' responsibility to do maintenance. Now, if what I'm hearing is indeed correct, can we request the copy of the list at the Honeydew police station? Because then we were told that it was an agreement they made with SAPS, that SAPS would do maintenance. So I would request that we get a copy of the list, so that we can see that indeed there was no such an agreement made.
And the worry is SAPS paying. And the payment is such that the landlord maintains the building. And the landlord is not maintaining the building. There is a contract, a contractual agreement, which is binding. I don't know. I don't know. And probably I understand the problem that SAPS is raising with the Portfolio Committee, even if they are trying to be very modest and not blame public works. I'm understanding the challenge that they don't go direct to the landlord. All that they do is to engage public works. And it depends on whether public works will then talk to the landlord. And public works is not frustrated by these questions that we're asking them now, to say why. However, SAPS continues to pay. If they don't pay, they're evicted. So it's a catch 22 in whatever situation. I'm trying to understand what they are saying. However, my serious worry is what the use then of having a lease that will include maintenance when we now know that they are not maintaining. Why and SAPS are we? I'm just checking if it is possible that the lease excludes maintenance, so that we leave it in the hands of SAPS to maintain, because in any event they don't maintain these buildings. We've been there, we've seen them. Why pay for a lease that includes maintenance when we know for a fact that in 90% of cases it's not going to happen? Because it's not happening. In many of these leases, it's not happening. We've been there. We've seen during our constituency period, we visit police stations. These that are here, we will be visiting them, and they're not maintained.
Madam Chair,
that, as the good general explained, if she can also explain the issue which was raised, the question of the agreement in public works and SAPS. You see, I don't take SAPS as a sub-department of public works. They give the money, so they have all the rights. Now I hear from the general that no, public will say, we'll do everything, don't talk, even if you're not happy. They bother. You can't talk to the landlord. I mean, what type of agreement is that? You are the one who's suffering, who's not, who's prejudiced. But you must keep quiet. That's what public will say. Shut up until I solve the problem myself. Because that's what public will say. So what type of agreement is that?
And when the landlord is not paid, then he goes to SAPS. So SAPS will see and meet the landlord only and only when they are not paid. It's a very normal arrangement. Very funny.
Memorandum of understanding.
Memorandum of understanding. Probably that's another question that has been asked.
Memorandum of understanding.
Madam Chair, in terms of the maintenance part, we have also engaged our CFO in terms of maintaining the buildings where the landlords are not paid. And he has clearly indicated to us the state is not allowed to invest in a property that does not belong to the state, because we increase the value of the property for the owner to benefit out of it at the cost of the SAPS while we are giving pay the lease agreement. There was indication during the meeting that we had with the Department of Public Works to engage with, to be part of the negotiations when they negotiate for the lease agreement. And the DDG from the Department of Public Works clearly indicated that it would be better if the department who is responsible to negotiate with the landlord. They don't want to have that tripartite alliance, because that is who will now take the responsibility during the program. And they have clearly indicated to SAPS that it is the legislative responsibility of public works to provide accommodation and to ensure that SAPS is always satisfied. And we had that meeting with them. We brought it to their attention, and we are communicating, Madam Chair, and there are times when we really battle to get the meetings that are, and at some stages, they are cancelled for now. Thank you, Chair.
We don't need another line.
Madam Chair, we do not have. The only thing that we have signed, or that was signed recently, was the service level agreement, but it was also in terms of the devolution of facilities, that with the 271 police stations that were devolved to SAPS. Thanks, Madam Chair.
This explanation has to be linked to my question whether they are being copied. Because if the Department of Public Works acts on their behalf, they need to get copies of the correspondence. So my question was, are you getting any copies? And if not, why not? Because they are acting on your behalf.
Madam Chair, we are battling to get the information from Public Works. We have requested, we are receiving some, and some we are still battling to get, because we are dealing directly with the head office, and they are saying the matter has been handled by the regional offices. Most of the information and the copies of the lease agreements that we've got today, we have received them from the regional offices. And we're even copying the head office from our side to say, this is what is happening, please help us, because we are having a difficulty in terms of the non-compliance by the landlord. And what even adds more to our frustration is the 2-year leases for non-DEE compliant landlords, because they say they are not going to spend money, they are just going to do the basics, and the basics is just to replace the door and so forth. But in terms of the maintenance, they are not doing much.
There is a big problem between the Department of Police and the Department of Public Works. If therefore there is no memorandum of understanding between the two departments, we will have this problem for 50 years to come. Because it seems as if the problems in between the understanding of who's supposed to do what and when. I find it very strange, because it seems as if the Department of Public Works is treating the Department of Police as a sub-department. It's a sub-department of Public Works, the way they are doing things. But at the end of the day, they are paying for the father. There's a problem I'm having. Now, that's where I think we have a problem. I don't know how we are going to solve it. Maybe it's not their fault, but we have to think about how we are going to solve this problem, because this problem is escalating instead of trying to reduce. Because you can't have, I don't believe that you can have the lease agreement and don't have a copy of the lease agreement with you. And you just have a confirmation letter, not a lease agreement, just a confirmation letter of saying that you can occupy building so and so. No lease agreement, you don't know what it's all about and so on and so forth. That is why they are being evicted. That's the problem I'm facing now. I think it's a bigger problem than what we are talking about. Thanks.
I think it's pertinent to this discussion too. I've just been told right now that, in fact, Public Works are before SCOPA right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, they're talking about criminally charging certain members of Public Works for failing to fulfill their responsibilities as outlined in the Public Finance Management Act. Apparently, things there are extremely bad, and I don't know that a memorandum of understanding is actually something you want to go into with that department as it stands. I think, in fact, you want about a 3-mile radius between you and them, because the head of SCOPA right now, as we speak, they've come out with guns blazing, and Public Works is in deep trouble. So I think a lot of what's gone on, and the fact that you've been given what looks like really poor service by this entity, in that you don't get leases, I don't think anybody actually does know. And I think the last people who actually know what's going on here is Public Works. And I think once SCOPA is finished with them, maybe we could have the remnants of who's left in the meeting.
However, I would not want to say that is innocent.
No.
I think that itself, it's negotiation. We need this. We identify a need and so on. The process comes to an end. At that time, things are still available. If SAP had asked for these copies at that time, they would have probably received them. If at the time of processing, SAP would known that, had known that we need 1, 2, 3, they would have done it. I'm talking about copies of leases.
Yes.
That they are looking for now.
Yes.
You know, they also have provinces, they have regions, and so on, or cluster. It would have been very easy for SAP themselves to say, we have this, but we want to have these cookies and keep them with us. Because it's like they are doing it now. That's what they say. They are doing it now. Why did they not do it in the past? It is the very SAP that says they only did the auditing in 2010. Before that, they themselves did not know.
No.
You know. That's so they're not. SAP is not an angel in this whole thing.
No.
They also have their part. As a matter of fact, maybe General Mgwenya is correct to maybe indicate to the portfolio committee that don't see us as these people are supposed to be in jail, because even if we are not accepting us, but I think probably it's correct for her to indicate that. Because some of these things that are here are quite frightening,
yes.
Quite frightening to say the least.
And somebody who allowed some of these things to happen really should have paid. I'm saying that. So, yes, we have a problem with public works, but we have subs that should have insisted if it was not in their interest to have these things, you know, like this, you know, the department which is paying money for things it does not know. Paying for leases they did not know. This is what we were told by SAP. So I'm just saying, I would not for now want to entertain the public works things. They are there, they have the portfolio commit. I have SAPs here with me that told me in the eye that we don't know. They said so. They said we don't know. And then they started auditing, which we're appreciating. That at least now they're giving us an answer that is now saying we know. It actually means that probably they're at a level, a particular level of dealing with their problems, but they started from a point of saying we don't know. And I think that is why I'm saying yes. However, I don't think that SAPS is innocent in this whole thing. I may not be talking about people. I'm talking about an organization that has always been there.
Thank you. Madam Chairperson, then with regards to whether we want to take over the
function.
So for that side then and Honorable Judge.
Sorry, madam, we
before I call the police, in fact they are here to remove you. Please behave. They are here. They are police, don't forget. They are police. They can actually perform their duty. So I will ask them to remove you, the police.
Yeah.
Well,
that's what we can do.
Well, feeling very sorry for them.
Feel very sorry for them.
Not that day. It's not manners on us.
Thank you, Chairperson. With regards to whether we want to take over the leasing function, the answer is no.
Why?
Well, apart from the fact that we do not have the capacity at this stage, the public works is like the owner of government facilities, but we do not have any intention. I think the question was whether we are not even considering that. However, what we have proposed was to take over the direct payment of rates and the municipality with the municipalities. So we have requested Department of Public Works to allow us to pilot this in Limpopo. After discussions and so on, they have agreed. However, we are still in the very early stages, you know, because it's a whole process. They have got the links with the municipalities and so on to try and see that if we pay directly ourselves, if we can establish a link with the municipalities and get our own bills on a monthly basis and pay, hopefully it will reduce this problem of people coming to work and find that there's no electricity or the water has been cut. So that is the only thing, because I think Chairperson was saying you have heard that we are not requesting to do the leasing, but it's only with regards to the manufacturing.
Fixing escalation cost, what does it mean?
So what you think, General, is that you also are having problems with in as far as the payment for it with municipalities. Public works is also not paying, and that is why that's what I'm saying, Honorable Chairperson, that people phone, come to work in the morning and phone and say, but there's no water, there's no electricity, then we must run around, phone public works, listen, at this police station there's no water, there's no electricity, you know, first we ask them to check in their area, maybe there's a cut off through the whole area also, and then we find that no public works didn't pay, and so, yes. Fixing, and that is not talking to the on the list. It's not necessarily only the list accommodation, you know. So I was just mentioning so that it doesn't look like I lied when I said no. But it's not to the list, but to the municipal rate. Yes, we are looking into that. What do we mean? We have already explained that we are requesting public works that when they negotiate the renewal of leases, they should negotiate a fixed cost. which is market related, because indeed you will find landlords who will then increase their leases, because when the lease expires, then they do renegotiate, and then the landlords will say, okay, I'm increasing by so much percent. So we just said to public works, please negotiate to, you know, remain within the market related, so that we don't sit with the rates that are different and are so high, which we have to pay. The process that those leases have followed, Madam Chairperson, I, from the side of the SHS, we are not able to respond to that. As indicated, that we submit our needs to public works and they go out, advertise and so on, and they will come back to us once they have concluded the lease. I think so far that is what I have. I'm not sure if my colleagues have got some other questions, Honorable Chairperson, that they can also ask.
Yeah, just have one short question, Chair. When a lease has to be renewed and it's about the 30% escalation, does public works consult with you?
Mm-hmm.
Or they just do it on their own self-consult?
No.
Do they find out from you whether you are happy with the escalation or?
If the lease advertised, mm-hmm. if it has to be renewed, is it advertised or is it just the negotiation between public works and the landlord?
One on one.
General, Madam Chair, my apology. We don't know. We don't know what is the process that they are following, because that is the process that is still with the Department of Public Works. We are not part of it. No, we are not even told what the process that they follow.
Madam Chair.
I mean, sometimes this is, you know, it's things such as this that I worry. I'm saying this because SAPS is, let's leave the fact that you are a department. You are a law enforcement agent. That's your responsibility. And how on earth would you not know whether the buildings that you are occupying were obtained through a lawful process? I'm really asking, because at what stage do you abdicate your responsibility of being a law enforcement agent when it comes to these things? I'm really asking, because you have so many leases, and at least I do read newspapers. I see adverts, but I can't remember seeing it. Is it not in your interest to know whether processes that are within the law are followed? I'm really asking, because for you to say we don't know whether they are advertised or not, it's there is a law that must be implemented, and as a law enforcement agent, it must be in your interest that even if public works was to do leases for other departments in a particular way, but for SAPS, it has got to be within the law.
Yes.
Because if it is not within the law, then SAPS must investigate.
And arrest.
It is your responsibility to ensure that things are done within the law, including your leases. Now, if you say you don't know, I'm still can't understand. At what stage do you abdicate your responsibilities of being a law enforcement agent?
That's why I use the word irresponsible. So now we have to come back to that. That if they do not know what is happening, if there is corruption, I mean, if there is escalation from, for argument's sake, let's say from 8%, to 30%. Why are they not becoming curious? Why such a high escalation? There needs to be an investigation. So I still think that the word I use of irresponsibility is correct. That they need to find out why such an impossible escalation. Something like this doesn't exist in the market. And yet they just blindly, humbly just accept whatever public works says.
Yeah. In fact, what Honorable Kola Barnard is telling us about the meeting that is taking place, if people must be arrested, it's SAP that must arrest them.
By who?
And would expect that it is in nature, it is within SAP, it happens automatically, that they will be sensitive to anything to say, is it within the law? Now, I don't understand as to what it is that you think to say, we don't know which process are they following. I mean, really, how can it be? No, I'm really asking, because at least the department must know that at least these that they are now processing, they are advertised, or we've not seen they're negotiating them if they are. This is the legislation that they follow. I mean, really, the following day we're going to hear that people are arrested for giving leases, wrong leases, unlawful leases to SAP. That's a scandal. It can't be SAP. It cannot be SAP. It can be any other department, but it shouldn't be SAP. By its nature, it should not be SAP.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. We do take note and agree that we are a law enforcement organization. Whenever we are inquiring about processes, it will be suggested that where is your interest, and you are corrupt. And as law enforcement agencies, then we leave the custodians of the process to deal with the process. However, in a situation where we'll receive a complaint of an allegation of corruption, or where there is any criminal act that will have been committed, we will respond as the law enforcement agency by ensuring that the relevant people are arrested. So hence we are saying we left Public Works to deal with the process of advertising. And we are not in a position to can tell as to whether, in terms of these buildings that are currently leased for utilization by the subs, we are not in a position to say these were negotiated or the relevant processes were followed, because we have been avoiding a situation where it can be suggested that we have got an interest, and even further suggested that we are corrupt.
Madam Chair.
So I want to suggest to the general that probably after today they must go and find a way where their relationship with Public Works is completely overhauled. It cannot be that the subs can behave like a sub department. You see, for instance, I heard the general, I don't know which one, but she says the Public Works is in court. They were not even aware of that. They were not even consulted. So if, I mean, that's a matter that is pertaining to SAP. But they are not even, know, Public Works goes to court. They don't even know what money SAP is using. What if tomorrow SAP says, no, we went to court and we used your money because we were defending your case. I'm suggesting, Madam Chair, because we want to, that probably after there must be an urgent meeting between the SAP and Public Works. And this thing that whatever SAP say, the general now says, SAP said, no, you're corrupt. That's a blackmail. If you want to know something, you can't be told, no, what's your interest? And then if you've got interest, then the suggestion is that you're corrupt. They should just dismiss that. Said, we are putting money, we are giving you money, we are the ones that account for this money. And therefore, we must know, because you are not the one who's going to account about this money. We are the ones who must go to the Auditor General and account. And therefore, there must be a stage where they must be able to say to SAP, sorry, we can't take this anymore.
We have not seen an advert. It's
one on one.
We've not seen an advert. And where have you advertised? This accommodation, because it's not seen it. I'm just saying that because there are laws in this country that must be followed.
do you want to say something?
Just General Manzi to indicate, you know, we don't just accept whatever if they say escalation is 30%. But I just want to ask General Manzi, Chairperson, if you'll allow me to elaborate on that.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We have a situation, a number of them, that we have picked up where public works were coming with the escalation, as we have indicated, somewhere even going up to 300%. Where we send it back to say to public works, we do not accept this. We send it back to go and renegotiate. And if we can't get a better rate, we do not accept. We rather go for alternatives. That is what we have done. And also in terms of the square meter that we are paying, in a number of situations, we have said to public works, it cannot be that in this area, the going rate is 120 per square meter and somebody's coming with exorbitant amount. We have done that. So it's not like we are just sitting there and not doing anything. We are engaging public works on that. That is why some of the leases are being delayed, and that they are complaining to say we are now delaying the process and we are going to be evicted and all sorts of those things. But we do take responsibility, and we continuously have consultations with them, asking them to have meetings with us. Although many a times, I can recall, Madam Chair, especially since last year in January, we battled to get a meeting with Public Works that were cancelled on every time, up until we got a meeting in July, the first time. And the second meeting that we had was in August. And since that time, we've never got another meeting with the Department of Public Works. And we are really battling to have meetings with Public Works. On the basis of our relationship with Public Works, we also have standing client forum meetings at head office and with the provinces at the regional office, with the regional offices. We're begging also to have those meetings to take place. But we do engage the Department of Public Works on issues that affect us. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. I hope you will be negotiating even more, because according to the information that is here right now, it says per monitor you are paying rates that are just out of this world. Good, as you have said, you're going to give us your information, but what is in front of us from yourself, which is that it is prepared by Public Works, it says you are paying exorbitant rates. And I just want to say that until such time that we get something that proves differently, this is what it is saying. You know, the square meter of 1,000 in the rural area, I think we will really be interested to get that information. Fortunately, it will be before the end of this week. Yes, because it's Tuesday today, isn't it? Is this week too short?
Chairperson, my question also based on what the general just said now about not accepting some of the rates that they are given. Now, according to the document, there is a building that is leased, I think, for Ekurhuleni MC, I'm not sure what that is. And the rate is 1,292 rand per square meter for 99 years.
Huh?
And I think if I saw correctly, that was the only lease that is for 99 years. Now, did I agree with that? Because if they negotiated, why would they agree to pay 1,292 per square meter for 99 years? Doesn't make sense.
Is there any expansion cost?
Madam Chair, on that one, I will just have to verify, because there's a number of leases that we are dealing with. Because the longer lease that we are going into is especially is the high side, because we've got certain strategic high sites that we have got, and they are privately owned, and many a times they are changing hands, and as they are changing hands, the new landlord is coming with their new demand. So I don't know, I'm now talking under correction, I don't want to confirm it now for now. I will have to go and verify that. But that is the verification process that is ongoing. Yeah. And from the new approach that we've got, we have requested that we have written a letter to the Department of Public Works and also requesting a meeting to that effect, to say in future we would love to have the high site be state owned or they have the servitude rights to those specific high sites.
No, honorable members, General Mkwenya, do you want to make closing remarks?
Thanks, honorable chair. Let me thank the committee for continuously giving guidance and by exercising the oversight, which we believe assist us towards ensuring that we improve in ensuring that the people of South Africa are and are feeling safe. We will continuously evaluate our processes and systems to ensure that the issues that are being raised that talk to the to the leases, the buildings which we are occupying, are being managed and where they are the where they can be a need for a criminal case to be investigated. We'll ensure that in line with our mandate as outlined in the constitution, we exercise that right. We believe, honorable chairperson, that we are doing our best, but however that does not necessarily mean that we are there. We can continuously improve, of which that is what we are striving for. And honorable chairperson, shall I humbly request that we be given an opportunity to respond to the questions and all information that is required next week. Why I'm saying this is because I had indicated earlier that from tomorrow till Friday we will be at the work session. We will want all the role players to be there so that when as we give instructions, whatever discussions that we'll be engaging on, we are able at a later stage to hold them accountable because they will have been part of that. We do not want any excuses. Hence, we wish for a situation where we can be allowed to have everyone there so that there can be no one who said, who might say, but you requested me to work on this information, so I was not part of the meeting. And to say we commit to continuously ensure that we do not let the committee and also the South Africans down in ensuring that we deliver as required. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Member.
Thank you, for the presentation and the engagement. It is true that when we met the department in 2010, I think, we were given the information that they did not know the number of leases that they had. And they promised that they would then go back to Pretoria and sort themselves out. It probably is appreciated that maybe the question that you've not responded to is the Mpumalanga one. I can't go before you respond to that one. The Mpumalanga provincial headquarters. Yeah. Yes, that one. I'll stop that.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In terms of the provincial office in Mpumalanga, we have compiled the needs assessment. And after compiling the needs assessment in terms of the resource allocation guide and the requirements from the province, we I won't remember the exact square meters now out of my of the cuff. And we gave them the accommodation as per their requirement, and as it was approved by the province, or certified by the province, the lease was concluded. However, there was additional space that was available on the very same premises that we could not take over because it was not part of the original lease. However, when we followed, there was a request that we received from the province to say they need this additional space because of the increase of personnel. What we did, we revised the lease assessment and we revisited the lease agreement. We learned that there is about 260 square meters that was already concluded by the Department of Public Works without our knowledge. And as we followed it up with the Department of Public Works, we could not get a response. And in November last year, we received an addendum to that original lease. And we tried to follow up. Nobody could give us an answer, even today, that how did that came into being. And we are still waiting for that. We have reported the matter to the CFO for the criminal charge to be opened because somebody now has disappeared who have put that addendum. And because we are asking money from the CFO to give us additional funding so that we can provide the additional space as required by the provinces, given the constraints in the lease budget. So that is what the matter is at the present moment. It has been reported and escalated to Public Works, demanding the explanation to that effect as to how did it happen that an addendum was given to us in November. And when we received it, we learned that that addendum was concluded in March 2011, and nobody is able to give us responses to us to date. And we are investigating the matter, Madam Chair. So that is the situation we find ourselves in. And the CFO has also advised us to say we should also follow due process before we can utilize that space, because we will be seen as accepting the wrong that is done by Public Works by just moving into just because it's a space that is available. So that is the response that is where the case is at the present moment, Madam Chair.
Are you paying for that extra space or not paying for the extra space? Did you install cables as such, and how much?
We have learned that the province has installed the cables because they took that from that agenda. They automatically accepted that space is available to them, and yes, indeed, we are paying to the Department of Public Works. That is one of the things that we have picked up in terms of the discrepancies that we have identified.
I want to understand you very well. I want to understand you very well. The initial list did not include that portion, and then later you received an agenda.
Yes.
That now was including that portion that was not used or that is not being utilized right now.
Yes.
Is what you're saying. And you are paying for that extra space right now. Since when have you been paying for that extra space?
Since April 2011. If I'm not wrong, yeah, during that time, yes.
So you are paying for, up until now, you're paying for a space that you are not using.
Yes, that's what
it is. That is one other question that we asked.
Yes, that's what it is.
You are paying for the space that you are not using. And how are you going to recover this money? How are you going to get your money back?
Madam Chair, what we are doing with regard to the Department of Public Works, as it is, has been indicated, we only pay since the date of occupation. And we have indicated to the Department of Public Works that this is what we have identified. We need to know how did it come that we have debt, and we have indicated to them we are not going to stop the additional payment to this effect because we do not have any agreement with the Department of Public Works to proceed and conclude that additional space.
But when did you start paying for the area that you're not occupying? In the perspective you start paying on occupation. Then how did it happen that you started paying for the space that you are not up until now occupying?
That is one of the things that we have identified during the verification process, and we have picked it up. And immediately when we picked it up, that is when we brought it to the attention of the Department of Public Works. No, before. When are you going to solve this problem? The province needs the accommodation. You are paying for it. They need. And I think what you are saying is that you've done your own need analysis and you think that they do need that extra space. The number has increased. I'll say it for myself. When are you going to finalize this matter? Are you going to wait for the criminal process? No, ma'am, we are not going to wait until we finalize the process because, as it is clearly indicated, that is fruitless expenditure and we are not going to be, we don't want to be held accountable for that. I was engaging with the CFO last week about the matter again on the follow-up after we have written a letter to the Department of Public Works on the way forward. And he promised to give us a response. I don't have the date now. But I'm following it up personally with the CFO on the way forward.
Honorable Chair, I commit to taking up the matter with the CFO and ensure that as part of the feedback that the Honorable Chairperson will be getting next week, I promise to give complete feedback on the ground. The renovation of police stations, the processing that you have to undergo and so that they can continue using the money that was donated. I was present in when that money was donated. So, I mean, Honorable Mgonya was also there. Okay? General Mgonya, yes, was also there. No, also, it doesn't matter, you also addressed me as general.
I have apologized on that, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, we are aware of that. However, in terms of the donation, we need to get an approval from the National Treasury before we can accept any donation. And it takes quite some time. The second thing is the police stations identified for those renovations are not devolved. We still have to go again through the Department of Public Works. Thirdly, from our office supply chain management, we have already gone and done the measurements in terms of what is required. One of the police stations will require the breaking down of walls in terms of the reconfiguration of the community service center, and we are working together with Mpumalanga on that one. However, we have indicated to them we are going to run parallel process while we get the approval from the National Treasury and the Department of Public Works. We are going to do our homework in terms of what needs to be done on the police stations.
Thank you very much. Surely National Treasury will not be the same as public process. So we definitely would want to get a concrete answers on this one as to where the process is. Should they take the donation or should they not take the donation? Because that is important for them to know. Because that business person actually said he was going to give that donation every year. That's what he said. He committed himself to that. So at least we must know as to whether they should take it or they should not take it. That must be clear. So we definitely want to get the information from your good self. And of course, regarding the issue of Mpumalanga, head of staff, General Mgwenya, and of course this information that you said you're going to provide to us. That's the next week. Very generous. As I was actually saying in my closing remarks, last year you had no clue as to what you had. Probably this time around you now know as to what it is that you have. And therefore you have moved, you know, to another level where now you're dealing with challenges that are there to try to get copies of leases and so on and so forth to ensure that you're not paying for extra spaces that you're not using and so on and so forth. This is what we'll be expecting in future when we discuss this matter, to say at this meeting you said you're in this level. Now where have you moved to an extent that we now can say we have an efficient system? You have said to us you want to reduce these leases. We're not seeing that. As the portfolio committee, we support the view of reducing leases. It's a lot of money paid. We can make use of this money elsewhere. We need it for our program. We think that either we build these, in an event we need to purchase buildings, it's better to purchase than to lease. You
buy, and then you have that building as such building. We think that is the best route to take than to continue with these leases that are out of hand, out of control, that you can't manage. So I think that is the design that we will support as the portfolio committee. Reducing leases, we agree with it. We're not seeing it right now. Please do it as you are promising. Implement your program as you said you have it. The strengthening that you talked about, even if you did not qualify it, but we think it's going to work. And we think that it's going to be effective. I want to thank you for the presentation. I want to thank members for the interaction with the department and this meeting. I want to thank everybody who is here, media, and all public members and our support staff. This meeting is attended.